about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. This is Stu Cobain. I have a lot of things to say to you. A lot of things to say to you. You parasitic little.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Kevin has a problem with alcohol. Problem with alcohol. Problem with alcohol. Kevin has a problem with alcohol. And when he's drunk, he'll let you do him in the... What did you do? Fire beer mouth. What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
When I get back from rehab, I'll probably say cocaine is terrible. But don't believe me, cocaine is amazing. I give it a million stars.
Do not believe the guy in the studio who tries to tell you it's terrible. That guy is a liar.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
Just like the other one.
Oh, good for you.
This one seems to be about to quit.
This place is run like an amateur whorehouse.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It brings me agony and sadness and dread.
Roll. Roll another one.
This is for all the Tostitos.
Just like the other one.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
This one seems to be about.
I've never known such gladness.
I don't have another cent.
Oh my God, beer mug. Die, 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 die.
But don't bogart that joint.
What? Out of his pants? What?
Just pass it around.
Okay, explain it with pink.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What the? What?
I just pass it on down.
And now,
why would anyone put themselves and their loved ones through something like this? I wouldn't pretend to know.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It is the 24th of April.
Right before we started here this morning, I asked Chip if she felt that today was likely to be a Hall of Fame caliber performance, and she said no. What's that about?
She has a good read on things?
It's science?
It's science?
Science?
I mean, really? But don't we stumble into something good about once every 2 weeks?
I don't know. I would like to feel – I just – my sense at the moment was that we've lost the confidence of the team. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
if they don't believe in us, how could anyone believe in us?
Here's what I'm here to tell you this. Okay. We never had the confidence of the team.
Oh, so couldn't lose.
Really?
Right. So
okay.
Can't really go down.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
How's your spray tan?
Not great. Thanks for asking.
What are you doing getting a spray tan anyway?
I might have had melanoma, so I stay out of the sun completely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I get spray tans. And
you don't like the way you look pale?
I don't. Yeah, there's no getting around that. No, I am so white that I'm almost transparent. It looks gray, so it's concerning.
Sure.
Yeah, but the lesson I learned last night, don't get a spray tan and watch Grey's Anatomy
because...
when a huge character might die.
Oh,
then you cry.
I see.
And then you realize, oh, this isn't good, what's dripping on me.
McSteamy died?
That's going to be something you want to actually write down there, Chip.
Yeah.
The dripping on
mm-hmm.
the part. McSteamy might have died.
Okay.
It was very upsetting, and I actually tweeted Bean because the song that was playing,
yes,
was the one about sadness and ambulances. Remember Aww. That one?
That was such a memory for us, Allie.
It was.
That was Bean. When I realized I spoke Allie.
It was. It was a beautiful moment about
it
six
was.
Months ago. So anyway, devastating night. Thanks for bringing
it
up.
So you're all streaky, basically.
I'm streaky, but I covered with makeup, so it's all right.
All right.
Boy, it's tough to be a girl, isn't it, Kevin?
Sure is.
A lot of complicated things we don't even have to think about. So, all right, before we get started on today's outstanding Kevin and Bean show, give me a little of that echo, if you would, please, because we've got another edition of You Be the Judge.
All right.
That was it?
Well, what do you... Yeah.
Okay.
Did you not like it? Try it again.
You Be the Judge. It just sounds so hollow. It doesn't have the oomph
that's
that I was
you.
Hoping for.
That's
yeah,
your
it voice. Could be me. We go to Channelview, Texas, is where this incident happened on the 31st of March, 2015. So what, about 3 weeks ago? A Popeye's Fried Chicken location was involved in a robbery. Somebody came in with a gun and stole all the money
Guilty.
Out of the register. Yes, he in fact did do that.
Thank you.
The teller behind the register that day is a young woman named Marissa Holcomb, who has three young children at home, is pregnant with a fourth child at the time, and is working at this Popeyes. The CCTV footage of the robbery shows that she was forced on the floor after she was ordered to open the safe. And the thief managed to steal – she did not open the safe, by the way, but the thief took everything in the register, which is around $400, and then fled. The employee – Ms. Holcomb was fired after the robbery.
What?
Marissa said that after the robbery, one of the managers gave her the choice of either paying the company back or getting fired. She said, I don't think it's right because now I'm struggling for my family with what I had to do to keep my life. So she was, in fact, fired. Okay? So open and closed, at this point, it just – open and shut, I guess is the expression. It just – it seems like maybe Popeye's is just a dick. It wasn't – certainly wasn't her fault. She just happened to be behind the register when the guy came in and robbed her, right?
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Well, upon investigation, the Houston area TV station, KHOU, contacted Popeye's, and they were said, no, she wasn't fired because she got robbed. That's completely out of her hands. She was fired because – there's policy in the store that you're not allowed to keep more than $100 in the register. And this is true of lots of retail-type jobs where they want you to periodically, if you get too much money in the register, more than you need to offer change to customers, you're supposed to put it in a little drop box or in a little safe. Apparently, she had been warned numerous times in the past to never have more than $100 in the register. And she had $400 in the register that day. So therefore, because of her bad decisions, the restaurant ended up losing a lot more money than they should have in the robbery. Now what say you about their decision to fire her, by the way?
Well, if they have that all documented, that it was over a period of time that she kept doing this, warned it kept happening, then they legally were in their rights. It just – it sucks that she had to be forced on the floor as a pregnant lady
it
during
does.
The whole ordeal. But
she lost her job, I think, is the more important part.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Important.
Okay.
So was it unreasonable for the company to say, hey, forget firing, was it unreasonable for them to say, look, you got robbed, not your bad, but what about how many times we've told you to only keep $100 in the register? We're out $300 because of you. And that's why I ask this question. You be the judge.
That's more of a statement than a question.
So what do you do here, Kevin? You're Mr. Popeyes. What's your ruling on this one?
I honestly think that they had the right to fire her, especially mm-hmm. because they warned her. Mm-hmm. This was a situation mm-hmm. that she had been in before, and they
right.
said, you need to take care of this.
This was the third or fourth time this had happened.
Yes. They'd been robbed, or just she had too much money there?
Too much money.
Okay. I would say, just from a PR standpoint, you just go, hey, everybody, this is a good sign here. You should all really pay attention to this rule. And then, you know, find something else to fire her for.
Yeah.
No, I mean, don't fire her. I mean, don't fire her. No, I'm saying just let her work there.
So a teachable moment.
A teachable moment.
Okay.
How about you, Ellie? You down with Judge Kevin?
I would agree. I would say use it as a teachable moment and say, this is it, though. One more time.
You
get robbed again, man.
Definitely going to let you go. But, oh, you're firing a pregnant lady.
Yeah, see,
that hurts. If she wasn't pregnant, I'd say beat it. But she's she's growing a person in there. That's tough.
Chip, what's your answer?
Murder.
Oh, wow. That's a little rough.
She's aggressive.
That does seem rough.
That's too much.
Well, in case you're wondering, once the story went viral and Popeye's, the main office of Popeye's, the parent company, realized what was happening, they did offer the woman her job back. They said the restaurant was operated as an independent franchisee of the Popeyes brand. We've spoken to the local franchise owner, and he has taken immediate action to reach out to the employee to apologize and rectify the situation. And they have also offered the employee $2,000 in back pay for her time out of work. As of the dateline on this article, she told the television station she was unsure as to whether she would accept the offer. So we don't know whether she's going back or not, but
she's
unsure if she would accept it. I'm sure she's looking for an attorney so that she can sue them. So anyway, I guess that's sort of a happy ending. Kind of sounds like what you wanted was for her to get her job back at least.
Yeah, except for then she said, I don't know.
So. Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But
so now,
murder.
Apparently it's murder. Chicken. Apparently it's odd.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I believe that you're way out of your depth in this matter. So the next time that you want to come in here and tell me what I'm doing wrong, you are welcome to keep it to yourself, because I don't care.
Unusually long. Lake Bell will be on the program today.
Speaking of unusually long.
She... Wow.
Mean.
Wow.
Just say it.
That was pretty. So unbelievably not sexy.
Daddy Likey, though.
Oh, man.
God.
When you say stuff like that, I can't get a boner for like a day. Lake Bell will be on the program. She's directing Children's Hospital, one of our favorite shows of all time. Courtney Cox is on the program today.
Wow.
She's directing a movie called Just Before I Go.
Giving the ladies the ability to direct now. What kind of world are we living in now?
The ability?
It's new.
I don't understand
new.
That. We also have Adam Carolla with this week in Rage.
Sure.
We have a brand new movie beat. We have tickets in the front row for Mumford & Sons. And we're going to talk to Brett Morgan, who's going to be in studio today. And he has done a little movie by the name of Kurt Cobain.
The Montage.
Montage of Heck.
I was trying to help.
You don't know the rules,
Kevin.
Do you?
Sorry, Kevin.
Not supposed to help. Montage of Heck. Yes, it's fascinating. It's
language.
It's a movie. And we're going to talk to him about all the behind the scenes of Kurt Cobain and everything that went on in his life and led up to the unfortunate ending. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
And now it's time for A Moment with Ally McKay.
I think maybe, what's that song about the ambulance and the slowness and sad?
What's Allie talking about?
Allie's just saying words now.
What just happened?
I'm just saying words.
That was A Moment with Ally McKay.
Yeah.
That happened.
A professional broadcaster right there.
Wow.
5:52. Finally Friday morning. Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, big doings.
Big doings.
And by big, I mean Big Sean and Ariana Grande. Boom, that's over. You know why?
Don't say sizzle.
Sizzle.
I'm gonna put you in the head.
When Justin Bieber got on stage with Ariana Grande, you know what happened, Kevin? Sizzle.
Was Justin Bieber
there was
involved?
Sizzle. Ha, ha, ha. Here's what Big Sean had to say about the breakup. First of all, Ariana Grande, you think she's immature. What? The 21-year-old self-centered pop star is immature? I can't see how that's possible. B.I.G. Sean. And apparently... he claims he did all the traveling to keep their relationship going. So when she was on tour, he would always go to her. She would never come to him.
Well, that would seem annoying.
Wait. Lastly.
Okay.
He thinks that she orchestrated the moments on stage between herself and Justin Bieber when they sizzled to try to make him jealous. Use Justin Bieber as a weapon against me.
Oh, she did that on purpose.
Boom.
This is what he's claiming.
Sizzle. Sizzle.
If you're going to make...
to the bizzle, my nizzle.
Stupid. God.
You right?
If you're going to make somebody jealous,
yeah.
Do you do it with
use
Justin
the
Bieber?
Hottest thing you can find.
Find me a twink. I got to get him angry.
Get me some sexy beebs. So there you go. Boom. Good news for Dave, though. That means Ariana Grande is available.
And you're talking about King of Mexico?
Yeah.
And he's
in
line?
I love Ariana Grande. So he's in line, apparently. Bradley Cooper seems to have traded up in the model department. You know, he was recently dating longtime girlfriend Suki Waterhouse, which sounds like a Japanese brand of toilet. The new Suki Waterhouse. But now he's got a new girlfriend on his arm. Any guesses, Kevin?
New girlfriend. He could have anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure could.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a model or a actor, actress?
Model.
Oh. Mm. No.
How about Irina Shayk?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were recently seen arm in arm attending a Broadway show together.
That's upsetting because I had next with her.
Right, see? Everybody in this show, it's the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Don't forget, tonight is the night. Bruce Jenner will sit down with Diane Sawyer in a 2-hour special and talk about
Lady Things.
Lady Things and his upcoming Lady Things.
I've got my popcorn ready.
Are you? Are you excited?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, my wife is too.
I went to tape it and it's 2 hours.
It's
2 hours.
I can't wait to see the ratings too.
You know, I know it's 2 hours because I said,
did you
30
say 2 hours?
Seconds ago it was a 2-hour show.
I wasn't listening to you.
Uh-huh.
What would your, if you didn't have this job, Kevin, what would your level of interest be in that interview? Because mine would be right at zero or a little below.
I mean, I feel like if I came across it, I would watch it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. So not much.
I'm with Bean. I probably would, though, surf the web the next day to see highlights or whatever, see if any revelations were made. But
yeah,
sit down
recap
for 2 hours? No, it's not for me.
Most of that is not going to be good.
Yeah. A lot of filler.
I mean,
right?
I don't really care about a person's sexuality or gender assignment at this point. It's not interesting to me at all. Whatever works out for them, I hope they're happy. And it's just it's none of my business is how I feel about
it.
I'm
not interested in that at all. I want him to just take on the Kardashian clan. I just want him to
go
crazy.
Yeah, if they get into that.
That's what I'm hoping to. I'm hoping to say, look, I've always been this way, and Chris was constantly fighting me on it, whatever. I'd like to hear bad things about her. That's what I'm hoping for on some level. And from saying bad things about people to saying good things about people, CBS has announced they're doing a 90-minute tribute to Mr. David Letterman on Monday, May the 4th. A retrospective of Dave's 33-year career in television, starting with his job as a weathercaster in Indianapolis, Indiana, all the way up to most recent episodes of his show. Top 10 list will be covered: stupid pet tricks, stupid human tricks, special moments from past shows. It's going to be quite the special, hosted
by
Mr. Ray Romano. So, good times. Speaking of Ray Romano, did you hear about the kid who played one of his twin sons?
What a bummer that was.
Devastating. 19-year-old kid who played one of the Barone twins on that show. His name was Sawyer Sweeten. Apparently took his own life at his home in Texas on Thursday when he allegedly shot himself on the front porch of the family home. So, as you can imagine, the family is devastated. But he was just days away from his 20th birthday. Tragic, tragic, tragic.
Yeah, that sucks.
And the mother, says, basically, at this sensitive time, our family requests privacy, but we beg you to reach out to the ones you love. So apparently he had some history of some depression or mental illness, and it's so tragic because sometimes people can be helped, and sometimes it's too late. So, sad news, but do what you can, if you can. And lastly, this is a good sign. People are starting to walk off the set of Adam Sandler movies. This may be a move in the right direction.
Well, they already started walking out of the theaters, too, so.
In this particular case, it's the production of Adam Sandler's newest film, The Ridiculous Six, which is a takeoff on The Magnificent Seven. See, but that's not The Magnificent Seven. This is The Ridiculous Six.
See what he did?
And this six, you have no idea how ridiculous they are, because they are crazy. So it's a Western, spoof of a Western, and they're making fun of Native Americans. And there were Native Americans on the set, Native American actors who were working on the set, and they were promised by the production that there was going to be a cultural representative on the set. There would be an advisor. There would be no stereotype, no cheap shots.
But they're on an Adam Sandler set.
Yeah.
So,
and after the script repeatedly insulted Native women, elders, grossly misrepresented the Apache culture, they all walked off the set, which I think is cool. Some of the examples included American Native women's names such as Beaver Breath and No Bra. Those were their American Native American names.
By the way, you should warn Kevin, you're giving him a spoiler alert
for the film. He's
Kevin. I know you're going to go say, but there will you will be meeting characters known as Beaver's Breath and No Bra.
Adam Sandler even lost me. I haven't seen his last three, four.
In one scene, an actress is portraying an Apache woman squatting and urinating while smoking a peace pipe. And other very insulting racist behavior. One character says, "Hey, Beaver Breath." And the Native woman says, "How did you know my name?"
Oh, no. No, he didn't.
Yeah. Look, Kevin's laughing. Look at him.
Well, no.
He's buying his ticket. He's going to Fandango right now to see if he can get his ticket.
Look, what if Adam Sandler runs into a clean piece of glass?
I'll speak up when I go see a bad movie. This is not one of them.
So, no one from Adam Sandler's camp or Happy Madison Productions can be reached for comment. But apparently, they are all very unhappy. Native American Navajo actors and longtime representatives of the American Indian movement, all there on set, just said, F this, and took a walk. You know, I don't blame them. It's been a long time coming where those things have to go away, those kind of stereotypes. You know?
Yeah. But then on the other hand, honestly, you're on an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, but
so
look, Seth MacFarlane did a spoof, a Western comedy last year called A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Right.
A big section of it had to do with his interaction with Native Americans, and it was handled very respectfully, and they came off looking great, and everybody was very happy with that representation. So it can
be
done.
Because he's Seth MacFarlane.
I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
It can be done. Just because it's a comedy doesn't mean it has to be insulting.
But it's an Adam Sandler comedy.
Once again.
It is going to be insulting.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Celebrity birthdays today. One of Kevin's favorites, and I mean maybe the favorite performer in Kevin's pantheon.
Hmm.
Ms. Barbara Streisand celebrates her 73rd birthday today. How many times have you seen
Kevin
Babs?
James.
How many times have you seen Babs?
I think I've probably seen her twice.
That's what I'm saying. Boom!
That just shows that I'm a good husband.
No, it doesn't show you love Babs.
Wow.
People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. You know, my longtime dream is to be in a Barbra Streisand cover band. I don't know if I ever told you that.
No, you didn't ever tell us that.
Cedric the Entertainer is 51 years old today. Jamin Hunsu, very talented actor, turns 51. Austin Nichols is 35 years old. Kelly Clarkson's 33. And Sleeping with Siren singer Kellan Quinn celebrates 29 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And it is Friday and a huge weekend. If you want to go to the movies, lots to choose from. Here's Ralph Garman to tell us more.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, interesting batch of movies this weekend for your cinema dollar. Nothing really jumps out at me. There's no biggie this weekend. There's no Avengers. There's no blockbuster.
Time for Paul Blart 2.
How
no?
Dare you. So there's some smaller interesting films you may want to check out, like The Age of Adeline. Blake Lively stars in this film. Story of a young woman who's born at the turn of the 20th century who gets into an accident and is rendered ageless. She's immortal after this accident. She looks the same, young and beautiful forever. What? How can this be? How can Adeline not be aging? Many people wonder throughout the years. Until one day she meets a man who might be worth losing her immortality for.
She can just give it up if she wants?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know how this works. I really don't care. It's Benjamin Button for broads. I don't know what's happening here. I don't understand it. It's confusing to me. But if Blake Lively can stay young and hot forever, that's a pretty good deal. No, sir.
Yeah, we should look into that forever.
Yeah. Right. I think we should look into that.
Stop talking.
Why am I talking like
this? Not sure.
Here's a clip where an older woman tells Blake Lively that she doesn't have to be alone forever.
You don't have to be alone forever. Don't you miss having someone to love? It's been such a long time.
Oh, it's not the same when there's no future.
What are you talking about? You got nothing but future.
I mean a future together, of growing old together. Without that love it's just heartbreak.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, it's what? Not a horror movie at
it
all.
Sounds like a horror movie.
That sounds like my life.
That
it's a horror movie.
It's a terrible movie.
Love that
when you
horrible.
When you don't when there's no future of growing old together is awesome. That's what she meant to say.
That's what she meant to say.
Adult Beginners opens up this weekend. Nick Kroll stars as a narcissistic entrepreneur who his career just goes down the toilet, and so he has to move in with his estranged pregnant sister and his brother-in-law, their three-year-old nephew, in the suburbs with his total life in disarray. He becomes their nanny. Oh, I bet he learns a lot of lessons about life and love. Rose Byrne, Bobby Cannavale, and Joel McHale, all star in Adult Beginners. Here's some clips from the trailer.
You can basically take the last 3 years of my life and light them on fire. I lost all of my money and a lot of other people's money. So my sister is pregnant, so I'm like helping her out a little bit.
Kids.
Yeah, they're the future.
We'll see, but...
Mm-hmm. No, they are. They will be.
We'll see.
No, it's undoubted the children are the future.
I'm going to tape everything up, make sure he doesn't hurt himself.
That's great.
You wouldn't believe what happened here last Friday. This hooker hit a vein.
Teddy, you want to go to the park?
It bled everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff.
That's
right.
Out there.
That's the deal. Little boy. Yeah, finally. Movie we've all been waiting for.
Whoa.
What?
Yikes.
Just saying, this is an important story. But a 8-year-old boy is willing to do whatever it takes to end World War II so his dad can come home. Come on. That's love. That's love that a father has for his son and a son has for his father. What's wrong with you bastards? Thinking something else? Just because I said little boy. Just
yeah, you
I said
that?
Very creepy.
Yeah. No, I did not. I said it dramatically. Oh, little boy.
Stop
drama.
Doing that.
It's boy. Drama. Yeah. It's a dramatic performance. Oh, little boy. It's please. About World War II and drama.
Please stop doing that. I beg of you.
Emily Watson, David Henry, and Michael Rappaport star in Little Boy. Here's a clip from the trailer.
Partner, do you believe you can do this?
I believe I can do this.
Pepper, Flint, Busby, it's time to go to bed.
You're going to war.
Yes.
I don't want you to go. Why can't we stay together?
Faith is powerful.
What if I get enough faith? Nothing's impossible, right?
Even bringing my dad home?
What if I can bring dad back?
How? How are you going to bring dad back?
I can move a mountain.
It takes courage to believe. Your father would be more than proud of you.
Then he goes out and kills a lot of Nazis.
Yes.
That little kid.
That little boy becomes Captain America. That seems touching, that story.
It does.
The Water Diviner, Russell Crowe, stars and directed this film about an Australian man who travels to Turkey after the Battle of Gallipoli to try to locate his three missing sons. Good choice, Russell Crowe, for your directing option. Here in the scene, Russell Crowe is told that his kid was taken prisoner.
There is a Persian saying, may you outlive your children. It sounds like a blessing, but it is the worst curse one can place on the head of a man. I have this list sent from Istanbul. This is your family name.
What is this list?
If this is your son, he was taken prisoner. He did not die here. He left Çanakkale alive.
You are all going to die tonight.
And lastly, Misery Loves Company. Nope, Misery Loves Comedy. See, you think it's Misery Loves Company because that's the old saying, but no, this is a twist. They put a twist on it. See, it's a twist. How much more black can this be? Answer, none. None more black. Misery Loves Comedy is a documentary directed by Kevin Pollak, a very funny man in his own right, where he talks to 50 very famous American and Canadian comedians, filmmakers, writers, actors, stand-up comedians, who all share their insights into one question. Do you have to be miserable to be funny? There has been a long-standing belief that comedians and funny people are actually suffering on the inside, and comedy is a defense mechanism. So Kevin Pollak explores that with some very funny people. Here are some clips from the trailer.
I'm proud to be a comedian. It took me a really long time to take out the word American and put comedian.
There's nothing like getting a laugh from people.
It's the narcissist fantasy.
It went from them loving me to them hating me.
Is there a way to explain why any of us chooses being the center of attention as a career?
When you're solo up there and you get the laughs, it's like crack cocaine. Rock 'em, crack rock 'em.
I heard a thump and somebody threw their prosthetic leg on stage. The crowd was just as astonished as I was.
I like seeing funny people talk about funny things.
Yeah, I've seen this movie.
You what?
I watched it too.
I've seen this movie, and not only do they talk about funny things, they really open up like in a serious way that you haven't seen most of these comedians.
Yeah. It's great.
It's pretty fascinating.
Well, there you go. There's your choice for the weekend.
Mr. Pollack will be here with us on Tuesday morning, by the way, to discuss the film of the Kevin Bacon.
Wow.
There you go. Mystery loves comedy. In its glory, everyone here has seen it except for me, and they all seem to have really enjoyed it.
Except for the guy reviewing movies.
I hope to also have an opportunity to someday see it, if that is an option.
This weekend is an option.
I guess I can go to a theater.
Yeah.
Maybe David King Mexico will give me a couple bucks. I can go out there and go see the film. That'll be very entertaining. That's my choice, even though I haven't seen it, everyone else here has. I would say I would like to join them and have had seen it as well. To Tom Bia. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Adam Carolla on the program later on today, and Brett Morgan joins us at 7 o'clock. He is the director of Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck. You know, I was just thinking about this, Kevin. Now is not the time to bring up a topic. We have a guest on the phone, but I was just thinking, is Kurt Cobain the most significant artist in the history of K-Rock?
Yes.
He's got to be in that conversation, right? And just a warts and all documentary about Kurt Cobain. You won't believe it. We'll be talking to Britt coming up about that. First, though, every time we hear Lake Bell is available to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show, we always say yes. I don't care if she's coming on just to talk to us about painting her toenails. We want to talk to Lake Bell, and that's why she's back on the phone here on K-Rock. Hi, Lake.
Hi, Bean. What happened?
I thought we had her. What happened?
I'm directing Children's Hospital. It's really fun.
That is an astonishing impression, Kevin.
Yeah. All right, we have her on the phone now.
Of a thousand voices.
Well, I'm saying you went to her. We didn't have her on the phone, so I didn't know what to do.
I apologize.
She's on the phone now.
I blew it. I suck. Hey, Lake, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're doing great. It's always great to talk to you. It seems like you've been busy as ever, and you've got a very special episode of Children's Hospital getting ready to air. Tell us more, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's airing tonight. It's sort of a play on Cyrano de Bergerac. So it's like a love story where, you know, one person's telling the other person what to say. If you haven't seen Cyrano, it's called Pulling a Cyrano. You know, we've got all the regular cats on, like the Ken Marino, and Lindsay Sloan is making appearance tonight, looking smoking hot and being kind of the girl that everyone's trying to woo. If you will, but, you know, Rob Corddry, all of us just acting like a bunch of 12-year-olds.
As you know, we worship this show, Children's Hospital, and it's got to be impossible as an actor to, you know, to keep it together and to not try to make each other laugh too much. But as a director, is that a much more difficult thing, knowing you have to hit, 11 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, it is tough. I mean, we definitely move really quickly, and at this point, we are very much a family, and when I first started directing, I thought, oh, God, it's going to be really difficult to kind of wrangle us, because I am difficult to wrangle when I'm on the other side, you know, when I'm just acting in it, I'm acting like a complete maniac. So when I started directing, and everyone is kind of respectful, for sure.
But are they afraid of you?
Like, no, but I was pregnant this year when I was directing, so that kind of gave me an angle, you know,
nice.
That if anybody would do, you know, out of order, then I could just be like, oh, the baby. And everyone would be like, oh, God.
Well done.
Well played.
That's nice to have in your back pocket, although I don't think that's where babies are born, but.
No, but, you know, not in the back pocket, no. They come with more of a front pocket thing.
Mm-hmm. I know that you've been in this, you know, business for a long time, and obviously you directed a movie that we had you on to talk about a couple years ago that was so great. So directing, you know, you're kind of used to that. But it must still be weird when you look up and you go, that's the Fonz. What business do I have telling Henry Winkler how to act?
I mean, that kind of comes into play a lot. I look around and go, wow, it's really amazing how you end up captaining a ship when you are genuine fans of someone, for instance. But, I mean, first of all, Henry Winkler could not – I mean, he's sort of like our set dad. He's like the sweetest, kindest, so funny guy to work with, and I think we're so lucky to have him. I mean, it's – you know, he'll totally give you a, you know, if you want.
I feel like I would be embarrassed to ask him to do that at this point.
I mean, but we've now been together on this show for 6-7 years, so it's like you know, it's everything's transparent. It's all in the open. There is no hiding the fact that he used to be the Fonz.
Yeah.
He is the Fonz. Will forever be the Fonz. Right.
Every season, you seem to have more and more guest stars. Is it getting to the point now where you aren't even asking for him? They're all just coming to you guys.
I mean, yeah, it's great. We've got, I think, because the show has this sort of gentle cult status, you know, we have people kind of calling up and saying, hey, can we come on? You know, I have a lot of I run into that a lot among my friends, and it's tough. I mean, there's only so many, you know, episodes, and this one is really cool because, you know, Lindsay Sloan happens to be a really good friend of mine. She's one of my best friends, and so she, you know, when we were doing Cyrano, I was really excited to bring, that's the episode that airs tonight. I was excited to bring her out, and then another friend of mine, Christina Chong, I was like, hey, you know, can you come and play a really small part? So, you know,
nice.
It's fun. I guess it's cool to be the director in that sense, because you can kind of be like, hey, I want to just put my friends in.
This is the voice of actor and director Lake Bell here on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Children's Hospital, which airs tonight at midnight on Adult Swim. And by the way, I don't want to give anything away. We were lucky enough to see this episode ahead of time, Lake, but I won't say who it is. But there is a supermodel making a cameo appearance on the show tonight, which I thought was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah. Yes, there are always. See, that's the cool thing about Children's Hospital. Not only is it supremely irreverent and naughty and just like delicious potato chips that you have to watch like seven of them together because they're so naughty. But, you know, we also have always some sort of surprise kind of guest star or little blip. Sometimes it's so quick. You can't blink, you know, or you missed it. But yeah, so we have a sexy super model and, you know, and then Dr. Dewey McJuju, who played by David Wayne, makes an appearance. Always a great moment when that happens.
Yes. Sure. Here's the thing again, is that it's only 11 minutes, and yet you seem to not throw anything away. How do you focus on so many people in such a short amount of time?
Well, what's absolutely crazy on top of that is the fact that when you do a director's block, you basically direct two episodes at the same time. And they are so supremely dense, as you're saying. So you have to you kind of have to track two episodes as you go, you know? So yeah, it gets to be very confusing. You take a lot of notes, really, is at the end of the day. You just wear sneakers, make sure you got a comfortable shoe, you got a fanny pack with your lip balm in it, and then you'll be fine. That's how I direct.
So, all right. Yeah. Shoes and fanny pack. That's the key.
One last question for me, Lake, and that is I'm always so grateful when I hear that the show is coming back for another season, but also so surprised because of how busy so many of your actors are. I mean, there's almost no one on your show who's not in two or three other things at the same time. How do you guys sit down and put a schedule together where you're all available to even film this thing?
You know what? You're so damn right, because it is really difficult. Like, every year, though, somehow, and I think it's genuinely a testament to us loving the show and being so dedicated to it, that we all, you know, try our best to be there. You know, there are some seasons and some episodes where, you know, certain people can't be in it, or, you know, they're traveling, or, you know, we're shooting a huge movie. So, you know, like, sometimes it happens, but it is super rare. And in the past 6 or 7 years, we have maintained our cast. And, you know, I think, honestly, we really carve it out. I mean, even for me this year, I almost couldn't be in it for the next season, which, by the way, spoiler, we're having another season.
Good.
And, so, you know, and I was really concerned, and I was heartbroken for a second when I thought I couldn't do it. And, you know, I think it's just kind of, it's like Christmas or something. We all look forward to getting together with our Children's Hospital family and, like,
that's
you
awesome.
Know, kind of telling fart jokes and stuff. So,
because Children's Hospital is better than movies and better than babies. Am I right, Lake Bell?
It's the same as movies and babies put together.
Okay, all right. There you go. A new episode tonight at midnight on Adult Swim that was directed by our friend Lake Bell, Children's Hospital. It's an awesome show. You definitely should be watching it. And as I said when we brought you on, Lake, anytime you're available, we love having you on the program. It's always great to talk to you. Thanks for the time.
Aw, thanks. Have a great morning.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:55.
We're going to talk to director Brett Morgan coming up right after the top of the hour about his fascinating new documentary, Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck. That's on the way here on K-Rock. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
When are Clooney and I going to be friends? When is that going to happen? That's what we need to figure out.
Soon, Ralph. Yeah, it's going to happen probably
Once
this weekend.
Once you're hanging out with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I think then George Clooney will get wind of what an awesome friend you are, and he'll want to be your friend too.
Yeah, I don't know if the Clooney dog and J.D. Morg hang out or not, but if not, I'll introduce him. We'll all be three of us hanging out. We'd be the best buds.
You have quite a rich fantasy life.
What will your nickname be?
The Big Kahuna, of course.
Sorry.
Thank
Obviously.
You.
Obviously.
Clooney, according to Us Weekly magazine, often signs his emails to friends with Danny Ocean and leaves messages for them saying, Batman is called. Come on! How great
how
is that?
How many people can do that?
Right. How fun is he that he actually takes his characters and then works them into like your everyday life as like faux arrogance? That's so funny to me.
It is funny.
Best of luck, Danny Ocean. Come on, that'd be a funny email to get.
It would. I agree.
Just tell him Batman called. He's Batman!
Look.
Guys don't get it,
we
man.
Get it. We understand.
Everyone knows anything about my friend, we're fans George of Clooney.
Everyone He's thinks Clooney friend. Is awesome. All of us do.
But we all want to be his friends, and none of us are going to be.
But you don't know.
Including you.
You don't know that. You don't understand. Hmm. Lena Dunham is hinting to Variety magazine that her HBO hit Girls may not go on for very much longer. She says, television shows in the U.S. tend to push shows past their due dates. She wants to end her show on a high note. All right, how about this week? Can we take care of it? Can we work that out? Can we call HBO and make that happen?
I am a fan of Girls.
I think it's
and
time.
I would be sad to see it go.
I think it's time to go.
But I think she is right that most shows don't have more than five or six seasons in them. Very few shows continue to be great beyond that. There are exceptions, of course. But I take her point.
But I think the market bears out the quality of the show, you know?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
I mean, I think if the show gets bad, then people stop watching, and then it kind of goes away by natural causes, you know?
But you want to be that show that just sort of fades away?
Like The West Wing, if it had gotten out at season five, would have been a much stronger memory for me than limping along for the last couple of seasons that weren't as good.
Well,
as
all we care about is your memories of TV shows being...
But I'm just speaking for the average TV viewer. I think you want your shows to be as good as they can be for as long as they can be, and then once they're not, I think it's okay to let them go.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Allie was saying earlier after watching Grey's Anatomy last night how bad that show has gotten now in its 11th season.
I think it's also okay to let the creative teams behind shows do the work as long as they feel they have something to say.
Yeah, sure.
I say go out on top. Whenever your top is.
Be Seinfeld.
Okay.
All right.
You're welcome, everyone.
That's one way to look at
it. We covered every possible opinion on this story then.
I just feel that it's not for anyone else to decide when a show should go other than the people who make the show.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's
true. To put it arbitrary, well, five seasons, that's as much as you should get. It's just insane.
Yeah, I'm not saying it should be a blanket rule for every show, but I'm saying history shows that most shows don't have more than about five or six seasons in them.
So what should you do then?
I think it's a preemptive strike
where you just stop producing your show?
I think you're right that Lena Dunham is the one who gets to decide.
I think so, too. And I wish you'd decide this week. That's all.
You wish you'd decide 5 years ago.
That's right, yes. She said, however, she would like to return everyone and do a reunion show when they're all 40 in 2035.
Woohoo!
So, there you go. So you got that to look forward to. Speaking of television, Hollywood Reporter says that Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are in talks with creators about joining the cast of Fuller House. That's right, the sequel to Full House. If they can reach an agreement, one or both of the Olsen twins may again play the role that made them famous. Michelle Tanner, Full House, coming back!
You might be too excited about that.
Come on, how great would it be to see Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen reprise their role as Michelle? And they look wildly different now. So they just keep stepping in and out of the room. Like, what are you doing to yourself? Why are you changing so much? They would just be confused by the little child they had.
I would like that.
Didn't they address that they were twins or something later on in the series or something? Or was it always just one kid?
I don't know.
I thought they just played the one child. Yeah, I'm no expert on this show.
That may be the case. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kellen Quinn from Sleeping with Sirens. He They are 29 years old today.
They are?
They are. Kelly Clarkson's 33 years old. Austin Nichols is 35. Jamin Huntsu, very talented actor, is 51, as is Cedric the Entertainer. And legendary singer icon Barbara Streisand turns 73 years old today. I, much like Kevin, balked, poo-pooed, and sneered at the career of Barbara Streisand until I, too, was once coerced into attending a live concert.
You got dragged there as well.
And I am so happy I was, because I can rarely remember being blown away by the presence and performance of a live performer as much as I was by her. Not necessarily my kind of music, but you, her talent and her force of nature is undeniable when you see her live on stage. It's kind of remarkable. Now she's 73 years old. So I'm going to stop by her house and knock one out.
I hope that happens.
I'm going to say, hey, Jimmy Brolin, why don't you sit this one out, sport? I got a birthday present for Babs. Hello, gorgeous. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have been looking forward to this interview for a long, long time. Director Brett Morgan in studio with us right now. His film is called Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck. It is 8 years in the making, you guys, to make this film. And it is finally out in select theaters today, including the Arclight in Los Angeles, premiering on HBO on Monday, May the 4th. Mr. Morgan, welcome, sir.
Thank you.
You said something as you were sliding into your chair that kind of knocked me back a little bit, that you are surprised at how much good reaction there is to this film and how crazy people are about Kurt Cobain. I thought that's why you made the movie, is because you knew how much people love Kurt.
You know, I knew people liked him, and I knew that he affected people, but until we launched the film and I saw the reaction on social media, there was no way to know the depths of it. I mean, this is global right now. You know, we just broke advanced ticket sales in Seattle, New York. I mean, it's like, it's. I was telling you last night, we were selling out little villages in Lithuania and Spain, and I mean, it's.
But he's our generation's, you know, Jim Morrison, though. I mean, you had to know how popular, how you can't go a day without running into a Nirvana song or seeing Kurt Cobain's face.
You know, I guess, I don't know, man. It's just, it's all very just crazy right now.
Did it really, it took you 8 years to put together this?
It was like 6 years of legal wrangling and a couple years of making the film.
Yeah. You, this is an authorized documentary.
Yeah, but that usually means watered down. You know, authorized, this is such a unique experience because authorized usually means like they don't want you to see it. But this is a situation where Courtney and Francis gave me total control, final cut, full authority to go into the vault and release all this stuff, liberate all this material. And, you know, to make this film what it is, 85% of this movie is never before seen or rarely seen material. And that's because the way Kurt was in front of the cameras is really uncomfortable. And we had this limited access. I mean, we knew who he was through his music,
right,
and through those stage performances. But it's so amazing when you see how romantic he was and how funny he was and all these other sides of him and how prolific he was as an artist. Because, you know, the thing I'd like to say about this film is that it's really an autobiography. You know, I'm the servant, man. He created this oral and visual autobiography of his life. And he did it through sound collage, and he did it through painting, and he did it through Super 8 filmmaking, and most importantly through Nirvana, the music with Nirvana. But what audiences are going to experience in this film, you know, people say with Kurt's really mercurial, you know, and he's really difficult to pin down. And if you do a book or a film and you may base it on interviews with people, you're going to be spinning around and around. And if you do it based on interviews with Kurt that he did in the media, you're never going to know what the truth is. He didn't like doing interviews. So if you want to get to the core of Kurt Cobain, let him tell the story in the best way he can through his art. You know?
And the way you weave through that with the journal entries, with his drawings, everything, how much time did it take you to go through all of that?
I mean, it was a couple years of just going through everything and trying to put the pieces together. And I mean, it's just,
wrote itself, really.
It kind of did. Yeah.
What was the most surprising thing you learned about Kurt Cobain you weren't expecting to find out?
How much in love he was with love. You know, he's really romantic. And I don't know if that really came through too much.
It did. His sensitivity came through, I think, more than anything for me. And I watched this as a casual fan. I am not one of those people that was just insane about Nirvana. But it gave me this insane respect for him just as a person, for what he kind of kept overcoming throughout his whole career, and trying to deal with that art as a sensitive person was ultimately his downfall as well. But how did you put that all together but still keep it genuine to those huge Nirvana fans that are going to want something that they didn't know as well?
Well, you know, it really, once again, it was a tribute to the family. For, you know, Frances said to me when I met her, we were shaking hands, and I said, I'm Brett. And she said, I'm Frances. And she said, you know, as she held my hand, I'm just met you, and I know you more than I know my father.
Wow, that's sad.
And
she was how old when he died?
20 months. She has no memory of him.
Wow. Okay.
And so we sat down in a breakfast nook, and she said before, and I thought I was going to pitch her the movie, but before I could say anything, she said, listen, everywhere I go, it's Saint Kurt, Saint Kurt. And she said, whatever you do, just keep it honest and real, because that's the best tribute we could do to Kurt. And
she didn't want you to
whitewash it.
Whitewash it.
Yeah.
No. And, you know,
that's rare.
And, you know, when she saw the film, and she gave me total autonomy and respect as a, and she said, I'm an artist and I totally respect you as an artist and you do your thing. And when I screened her the film for the first time, she embraced me and said, thank you for giving me these 2 hours with my father that I never knew I was going to have.
And was that a pressure for you the whole time?
I wanted to make it for her. You know, I'm a father of three.
Yeah.
And I saw this as an opportunity to sort of bridge the gap. And the thing that's so remarkable about it is, you know, it's incredibly intimate, as you know. And you know, we don't hold back. You see the good, the bad, and the ugly. But, you know, we weren't trying to put him on a pedestal. We weren't trying to tear him down. We were trying to look him in the eye and strip away the layers of mythology and reveal the man. And when you see the man, he's so much more endearing than the myth. You know?
This is the voice of the director, Brett Morgan, here on the Kevin Amici Show. Again, we're talking about the film Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck. It's going to be premiering on HBO on Monday, May 4th. Kevin talked about how much Kurt was uncomfortable in the press. Why did he allow the band to make so many decisions that made them so much more famous, being on the cover of magazines and going on MTV and doing so many things that they didn't have to do if they didn't want to?
Well, that was the problem, you know, because Kurt wanted to be famous, but he didn't know what that would be. You know, he thought maybe Sonic Youth, they would sell 200,000 albums. And when they broke, you know, instead of, and here's a guy who has a real low self-esteem, you know, and suddenly the whole world is staring at him. And that doesn't make you feel any better. Yeah. Coupled with, he was an artist. So it was one thing when he wanted to do the interviews when he was working his way up. But suddenly when they said, hey, man, you got to do this interview at 3 o'clock, it became a job. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he had any and that's what you see in the film. Because when I experienced it, when it was happening, I was like, oh, this guy's like this whiny, you know, get over it, man. But when you go through his whole journey with him, you realize he's just an artist. He's a pure artist who doesn't want to sit here dealing with, like, explaining his music, you know, and all this stuff. And I just got to say something real quick, because you mentioned HBO, but we have something really special happening right now in L.A. This is Kurt Cobain weekend at the Arclight and at the Dome, and we're doing all sorts of amazing giveaways this weekend. We are giving five fans an opportunity for a full access Montage of Heck archive tour, where they will have access to everything that Kurt left behind. All of his music, all of the film, everything. So I'm putting five Wonka tickets throughout the weekend underneath the seat. And it's because I wanted to liberate those archives. You know, I wanted to, this film was for Frances, but there was also a sense that this stuff needs to be out in the world, and we need to share this with the fans. And
it's a 2-hour movie. How much stuff is there? Could you have made a 20-hour movie?
No, this is
not
it.
Not that much.
This is it, man. My first cut of the film was 2.5 hours, and that and then this is the same film, you know. But there's going to be an amazing soundtrack that's sort of inspired by the movie. They'll be coming out, and you know, it's just, you know, we started this by saying how you know, I didn't realize how deeply Kurt had penetrated the zeitgeist, but you know, it's amazing because it seems like it's a rite of passage for 13-year-olds. You know, whenever they get to that point in life when they realize their parents aren't exactly who they thought they were,
right?
They find comfort and solace in Kurt. And it's just a power to his ability to express himself and capture that feeling that we all go through at those you know, pivotal moments in our life. And, you know, the bottom line is he's come to represent and given a home to the uglies, the geeks, the downtrodden. I don't want to as we say this, it sounds like we're propping him up and, you know, making him St. Kurt again, right? But you cannot deny the power of the art. And that is why we're still talking about him.
Absolutely. You know, he wrote about adolescence and alienation in a way that millions of people have responded to and will always respond to. You're absolutely right about that. I mean, he tapped into something that was universal in the experience of growing up.
It's rare, too, in that we were at K-Rock when that happened, and all of a sudden, all the radio stations were playing Nirvana. We were like, what's happening? How are all the radio stations playing this? It didn't make any sense to us. He conquered the entire world of music.
And you know what? Right now, he's the biggest star. I think he's probably the biggest star of the last 25 years. Someone asked me, is he the last rock star? And I said, that's ridiculous. He's not the last rock star, but he may be the last analog rock star. You know?
Yeah, what's really curious, and I know you've talked to, you know, Dave Grohl, you've done a bunch of interviews with him as well that we may see at some point, is that, you know, Dave Grohl is almost kind of not in the seriousness of the music, but just in terms of the global popularity. Dave Grohl is about the biggest rock star in the world right now. And who would have ever known that he would come from behind the drums and turn into that, right?
He was such a good drummer. I think you're right. I think Dave Grohl is the biggest rock star in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people love listening to his music, but in terms of that sort of spiritual, deeper connection, I mean, it's a totally different beast.
Totally different. You're absolutely
right.
Tonight,
we're going to go worship at the Arclight Dome, one of the great cinema palaces in the world, in a communal gathering. There's 20 tickets left, I think, for tonight and tomorrow night's primetime shows. And I highly encourage people. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see this on the giant silver screen in L.A.
Absolutely. And we just tweeted out that information. We'll put it up on the Kevin Bean Facebook page as well, so you can make sure to be there in the house to see the movie Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck. The rest of us will see it on HBO on Monday, May 4th. More with our guest, director Brett Morgan, when we return right after this on K-Rock. On the big screen at the Arclight in Los Angeles tonight is Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck. Brett Morgan, the director, is here with us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. All right. So during the break there, I'm asking you about some of these animated segments that are beautifully done in your film and the voiceover narration that I assumed you had a voice actor reading from Kurt's journals to make those illustrations.
I assumed the exact same thing.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy. No, what happened was in 1987-88, Kurt was experimenting with spoken word. And he would write stuff down in his journals, and then he would go and record it. And so when I went into the archives, I discovered this box of 108 cassettes.
108?
Yeah. And one of the tapes I put in, I start to hear Kurt telling the story of his, or performing the story of his adolescence. And he tells this amazing story about his first sexual experience, which ends in, in his first suicide attempt. And nobody had ever heard this. And here's one of the most dissected and investigated artists of our time. And here's possibly the most critical piece of the puzzle if we want to understand Kurt. And it just was sitting there till 2013.
That's unbelievable. And here's the clip, again, of a story that none of us knew about. And how old is Kurt at this point, Brent?
He's the story he's talking about, he was 15, but he's telling it when he's about 20.
All right, listen up.
I couldn't handle the ridicule. So I got high and drunk and walked down to the train tracks and laid down and put two big pieces of cement on my chest and legs, and I waited for the 11 o'clock train. And the train came closer and closer and closer, and it went on the next track besides me and stood over me. The tension from school had an effect on me, and the train scared me enough to try to rehabilitate myself, and my lifting weights and mathematics seemed to be improving, so I became less manically depressed, but still never had any friends because I hated everyone, for they were so phony.
When I saw the movie the other night, I came into the guys the next morning, Brett, and I said, I feel like even if Kurt Cobain had not been in a band and had not been subject to all of that pressure, I feel like he eventually would have ended up killing himself just as a civilian because he seemed to have so many demons.
I think one of the things we see, we track down, you know, wasn't enough to just come to the conclusion that, you know, Kurt, I mean, one of the themes, as you just heard, that was the Rosebud. You know, here he is talking about killing himself, but he tells you why. I couldn't handle the ridicule. And that was the rosebud, because once I heard that, suddenly everything else was illuminated. And you realize in Floyd the Barber, I was shamed, I was shamed, I was shamed. The most common words in Kurt's journals were shame, humiliation, ridicule, and guilt. But it wasn't enough to just say that he was threatened by ridicule. I wanted to get to the square root of it, the core of it. And Wendy Cobain handed me 5 hours of never-before-seen Super 8 footage of Kurt growing up from 6 months to 8 years. And it was like the movie Boyhood. Here's, once again, the most investigated artist of our time, the Holy Grail, this footage where you can see him start off life as this beautiful, angelic little boy. And then you see the damage inflicted upon him at a very young age.
He was, I noticed this too, he was hyper and too happy and just bouncing off the walls.
And they didn't know how to nurture it.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's what started the shame, the humiliation, the rejection. And you see that at such an early point in the movie, and it's heartbreaking. It is just, it's, this movie is so sad and dark and beautiful and lovely and uplifting. I'm telling you, I watched it 2 hours and 12 minutes. I could have done 6 more hours easily.
Can you go back and edit?
Can you please?
Yeah, it's, you know, the beautiful thing about Kurt, and once again, going back to this, is he had all that pain, but he, you know, he was so creative, and, you know, he had to do something with it, and he purged it out of him through his art. And it's so expressive. And stuff like that, what we just heard, that is a piece of art. He's performing it. He did multiple takes on it, you know. And it's, you get this image of this kid, you know, in this apartment in Olympia, you know, going and telling this story. And also the way he's telling it, which is slightly aloof.
That's, you know, why I thought it was someone else.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's haunting, man. Yeah. And I just have to say real quick that I don't want people to think this is like a super depressing movie, because it is on another level a celebration of the creative power of art and the transformative power of art. And, you know, and it's funny, man. I mean, Courtney and Kurt, who knew they were like Lucy and Ricky?
Oh, they were goofballs.
They
were happy little newlyweds, weren't they?
I mean, it's like, you know, if you want to see what love is like at 24, 25 years old, you come see this movie and you're going to see two people that were so deeply, passionately, crazily in love. And I mean, absolutely hilarious. There are points in the movie where you cannot hear, we're going to experience this night, where you won't hear the dialogue, because Kurt is just hilarious in a way that we've never experienced. And you could just imagine, as I'm discovering all this stuff, and everything I'm seeing is a revelation, and it's revealing another piece of Kurt, and I'm sitting here by myself, and I'm going, this has to come out, man. We have got to get this out, you know. But, sorry.
No, go on. You actually said in an interview, and you said it again here, and it freaks me out, and I hope it's not true, you don't want to do another movie after this. You're spent. You don't think you can do something as true.
No, man, because there's nobody. You know, I love working. I did The Kid Stays in the Picture and Crossfire Hurricane and the 30 for 30, June 17, 1984.
You're just throwing these away. Those were all great.
Those were some of the best things you'll ever see in your life.
But, you know, with Kurt, I had an artist, once again, who was both oral and visual, and Kurt did the sound design. I mean, how crazy. People talk about how intimate this film is. I'm not, you know, Rolling Stone called it the most intimate rock doc ever made. And the intimacy, to me, is his art, and not footage of him nodding off with Francis so much. But, you know, you're hearing the sounds that he was hearing and experiencing life through his eyes and his experiences. And it's so all-encompassing and beautiful. And, you know, I'm sitting here, and this was like, I thought this film was polarizing, you know, because it's so avant-garde in a way. But we're sitting here right now, we've got 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. And, you know, it's just been euphoric. I mean, Entertainment Weekly gave it an A, and the raves in the LA Times, New York Times this morning. I never expected that, man. I thought going into it like this is going to be someone's not going to like this film. But it's just insane what's happening all over the world right now.
It is fascinating to see somebody that was that huge in our pop culture, and then to see a lot of behind the stuff that we didn't know.
I mean, there was so much. Yeah, I mean, who knew that?
Even if you don't like the band, I think that's fascinating.
Who knew there was going to be all that? I didn't know, man. Yeah. I had no. I was so cynical. What else is there to say about Kurt?
Right. Yeah.
You know, but look what
this is just like. You know, you had an opportunity to dig for gold, and you hit a mother lode. You didn't even know what you were getting yourself into. But thank you for making the film, Brett. Obviously, you know how much Kurt Cobain and Nirvana has meant to us over the years here at K-Rock. I mean, they're probably the biggest, most influential band we've ever played on this radio station. So, I mean, we've got a lot of people out there who are going to be wanting to see this movie, that's for sure.
Well,
let me ask you one last question before we let you go. And I think of this every time we lose somebody so young. At 27, he commits suicide. Could he have been saved? Would there have been a way? Like, what wasn't in place to help him so that that didn't happen?
You know, it seems to me that the problems, you know, predated Courtney, predated Nirvana, predated heroin. I'd like to think if he could have got through that patch, you know, maybe things could have been different. But I don't know, man. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that's so touching in this film is you see what a great father he could have been. Mm-hmm. He loved that girl. You know, some men have a hard time taking to fatherhood. You know, it's easier for women. But Kurt was really the maternal one in the house. And he was so nurturing. And you see that love and that tenderness. And, it, you know, I mean, the great tragedy of this thing is the father that Frances lost.
Yeah.
Because she would have had one of the best fathers you could have ever had. And that, to me, is really the where the hurt, man. When, you know, seeing this right now is like... You could just see it. What an amazing father Kurt was and could have been.
Yep. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Mr. Morgan. Great to have you on the show. We really enjoyed it. And congratulations on the film, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right. We got to clear the lines and open them right back up again. If you would like to win tickets in the front row for Mumford & Sons, we would like to make that happen. As you know, tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 o'clock for their show coming up August 17th, now at the 18th, also at the Forum. If you want to go, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, what are we looking for this time around?
We're looking for your questions about Mumford & Sons. Stump Rodney.
Rodney Bingenheimer knows everything there is to know about everything, particularly Mumford & Sons. So if you've got a trivia question you think you can get by Rodney, you'll be on your way to winning tickets in the front row for Mumford & Sons. Call now. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
All right, K-Rock, Rodney and the Rock Show.
Nope, it's Kevin Bean.
Kevin Bean, still
song
us.
Song was, I don't know what song that was.
It was one of the band Nirvana we were playing, Rodney.
We're just talking about
just
them.
Just talking about them for half an hour.
Band, I'm sure it was famous.
It was
band.
Nirvana. What's wrong with you?
Nirvana will be playing down at Los Globos.
What do you actually know?
Those guys should
be hired.
No, they
had to cancel that.
You should hire those guys if you have a club and you want a band.
Rodney,
check out Nirvana. They're really
I appreciate you being here.
Good band. And
Rodney's going to help us give away some tickets.
Use the gig.
Okay. Let me handle this, Rodney.
All right. Rodney on the Rock Show 106.7.
Nope. Still Kevin Bean. You're going to help us give away.
Morning.
We've got tickets for Mumford & Sons in the front row at the Forum August 17th. Tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 o'clock for the 17th and the 18th. But we are going to give you the opportunity to win them right now. Now, Rodney, I
can
know
win
you,
them right now?
Not
All
you
right.
can. The
what
listeners
do I have
can.
To do to win
listeners
them?
Can. I know that you are generally identified with the music from the 80s. That's what you mostly, it seems like, like to.
You,
how do you feel about the 90s, by the way?
Hate the 90s.
Okay.
So you have a Sunday night show here on K-Rock, and you've been playing a lot of particularly 80s music for many, many years. But you also apparently know a lot about this band Mumford & Sons, right?
I know Mumford's Sons and all of the family of Mumford.
Okay.
Well, that's shaky
so
right there.
If you have a question for Rodney about Mumford & Sons, if you think you can stump Rodney, you'll go into the drawing to win those front row tickets. You can call now at 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve!
Can you stump Rodney? Can you stump Rodney?
Yeah.
Let's all stump Rodney now!
Yeah, wigwam bam.
All right, Rodney in the morning.
Rodney,
show.
We're doing a game. You're our guest host. Just sit there and answer questions.
So
all right, why don't we start with
that? So upset about.
Let's start with Catherine, if we could, please, on line three. Someone She's in North Hill. She's got a question to get us going as you try
get
to stump Rodney for
cocoa.
Mumford tickets.
He's hot cocoa, this guy.
Hey, Catherine.
I'm very upset.
Hi.
Hi, Stump Rodney.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Stump Rodney.
I told you he's upset. Catherine,
we're not asking
so mean.
You, we're telling you. Stump Rodney.
Do you have a question for Rodney?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
What was the first studio album called?
First studio album.
This is an easy one.
First studio album.
We're talking about Mumford & Sons here.
That was Sinead O'Connor.
is another
Why
singer.
Why do you think they would name their album after her?
Sinead?
Catherine, is it Sinead O'Connor?
No, sorry.
It is?
Say No More.
Say No
Faith
More.
Faith No More? I love
not
Faith,
Faith
No More.
No More. Not at all, no. Wait,
Catherine, wait. You're in the drawing. You're one step closer to winning your tickets in the front. Well, congratulations. All right, let's go to Lauren in Los Angeles. She's up next. She's on line four for Rodney Bigenheimer.
Hey, Lauren.
Hi, good morning.
All right.
I'm Rodney.
Okay. Where was Marcus Mumford actually born?
Berlin.
Oh, an actual city. How That's about that? Right. Was it Berlin?
No, it's actually Anaheim, California.
Mm.
Really?
Sex. I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow, that's a surprise to me.
What? Sex, I'm a...
It's a damn Berlin. Song by Berlin, yeah.
Metro.
All right, okay. Thank you for the call. You are in the drawing. We appreciate that. Wow,
Masquerade.
These are weird, questions. Song.
I feel like we've been led wrong here with Rodney's knowledge.
Let's go to Jesse on line 8, please, calling from Los Angeles.
Hey, Jesse.
Now drone.
Well played, Rodney.
Rodney, we got that one, actually. That was good.
All right, Jesse, stump Rodney.
Okay. Where did Mumford & Sons, who did they perform with at the 2011 Grammys?
Salt and Pepper.
Was it Salt and Pepper, Jesse?
And it wasn't Salt and Pepper. It was Bob Dylan and the Abbott Brothers.
Yeah, push it.
No, okay, it wasn't
Salt Pepper, he said.
It was not them.
Bob Dylan and the Abbott Brothers. Okay, thank you, Jesse.
Oh, that's
you're the
commercial
as well.
I saw for insurance.
All right, let's go with a really easy one. Let's go to Woodland Hills, line 7, please. Ari is up next for Rodney.
Hey, Ari.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Stump Rodney.
All right. What award did Mumford & Son win in 2009?
Falco.
That's not an award. Is that an award?
The Falco.
Is that an award? Have you ever heard of that being an award?
Why are you so upset?
Because Falco is not a reasonable answer to that question, Rodney. That's why.
Just doing the best I can.
All right. Is it Falco, sir?
No. It's a BBC Sound of 2009.
Right.
All right.
That's a real award.
I think Falco's a better answer than that. All right, Kevin, do you like any of these other questions? Should we cut our losses and just do the drawing?
Oh, I think we should just do the drawing. That's my feeling on that one.
All right, everyone, Rodney, everyone stumped you.
You didn't win.
You haven't won anything, but every single person stumped you.
Is my name in the drawing?
So they're all in the drawing.
How can I win if my name's not in the drawing?
Front row seats for Mumford & Sons. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Ari.
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 Congratulations,
yeah.
Ari.
Thank you. That's awesome.
I hope you win a Falco someday.
Nope. He's in the front row for Mumford & Sons. Thanks for playing the game.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
You know her as an actress. Now she is a director. Courtney Cox, one of the Friends, don't you know, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Maybe she should direct The Ridiculous Six. Maybe so many actors wouldn't be walking off the set then of the new Adam Sandler movie. Apparently, they're filming this spoof western called The Ridiculous Six with Adam Sandler, Dan Aykroyd, John Lovitz, and Vanilla Ice.
They get Vanilla Ice.
I know, because he's stabbing all those
people. Right,
remember?
That's what I heard.
And a bunch of Native American actors walked off the set. Including,
I don't know that we need.
Come on,
we don't need that bean.
Including some Navajo tribal members like Lauren Anthony, who's also lead singer of the metal band Bloodline, by the way. And they walked off the set because, although they were promised it wouldn't be the case, they found their culture grossly misrepresented, mocked, especially Native American women. There are several scenes in the movie which have moments like this. Hey, beaver breath. Says one character to a Native American woman.
That didn't happen.
And she says, how did you know my name? See, because those Native Americans sure have crazy names.
Right.
They're crazy names. One name is named who? He's on first?
Nope.
another Indian Native American woman is known as No Bra. That's her Native American name.
Uh-huh.
So, the Native American actors walked off the set due to the insensitivity. Netflix says,
but we're making a comedy here. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous is in the title, they actually said in a real response. Oh, well, I didn't realize that. Well, if it's called ridiculous, then please take a dump all over our culture. We welcome that, said
no one.
No one. Yeah. But Adam Sandler did say, I'm really sorry, I don't. Oh, I don't know. In a musical response. So. White people got to be like that. The white man has been taking on my people for so many years.
I don't think they're your people. I don't think you've got any Indian in you at all.
You know I'm one quarter Choctaw.
I don't think that's true.
It's absolutely true. I was born on Choctaw Ridge.
I don't think that's true either.
I was the day that Billy Joe McCallum.
No.
Come on.
No.
Jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
No, that's not true at all.
It's all very true. Saturday Night Live's wrapping up its 40th season. They've just announced the final three hosts and their musical guests. Scarlett Johansson will be joined by musical guest Wiz Khalifa in his SNL debut on May the 2nd.
She's a bitch.
Oh, come on. Why got to come at ScarJo like that? She's the best.
She is the best.
She's going to be right there on the brink of Avengers Age of Ultron phenomenon. She'll be there on SNL. They do get the hottest guests at the right time. Then Reese Witherspoon on May the 9th. She's in that new movie, Hot Pursuit, with Sofia Vergara that opens up that same weekend.
All right. Go back to the part where they get the hottest guests at the right
that
time.
That movie looks awesome.
No.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
No, it doesn't.
I love the ads for it, by the way. Witherspoon, Vergara. Please, really? You're using just their last names to sell this movie? And she will be joined by musical guest Florence and the Machine.
All right.
And then on the finale, May the 16th, Louis C.K. will host for his second time with his musical guest, Rihanna.
Nice. Right.
Speaking of Rihanna, real quick, note for the parents out there. Finally got around to taking my kid to see Home this week.
Okay.
Went to a matinee on Wednesday. Home is a movie from DreamWorks, animated with Jim Parsons from that Wacky Bang show.
Big Bang Theory.
Right. And he plays an alien who comes to Earth. And hooks up with this, doesn't hook up with her, but teams up with this little girl named Tip, played by Rihanna, voiced by Rihanna. And I have to tell you, she gives a phenomenal performance.
Does she?
A terrific voiceover performance in the role of this little girl. I was really impressed by her work.
And she's got a bunch of songs in the film, too.
Yeah, she does. The music's real good. It's a very entertaining film if you're a parent who wants to take your kid to see a movie. This is one of those kids' movies that you will not mind sitting through at all. It's very funny. Steve Martin plays the head of the alien race, and he's very funny in it as well. So just a little tip. I know it's been out for some time now, but I just wanted to let you know that if you're thinking about going to see Home, I think you'll enjoy it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson! 33 years old today. Remember that, Steve Carell?
Sure.
It's a good time. Austin Nichols is 35 years old today. Talented actor. Jamin Hunsu, speaking of talented, he's 51 years old. Cedric the Entertainer. I am not kidding you. I don't know how I found this. I came across it the other day. There is a reality competition show. I believe it's on the CW. Hosted by Cedric the Entertainer, where people cut hair off. It's like a hair off.
It's like a barber off.
It's a barber off.
Yeah. Wait, you said there is or there was?
There is.
There is
now? It was
now?
On the television. I saw it. It was not a fever dream. There's two people cutting hair, and they were shaving portraits of people into the back of people's heads. It was a competition hair cutting show, and they were sitting outside the Queen Mary in the parking lot shaving pictures into people's heads.
I need to get on that show.
This was on television.
Kevin, you're Mr. CW. How have you not seen that? That's your favorite channel.
It may have not been the CW. It felt like the CW to me.
How dare you? They do good work.
It may have been some other channel, but it was, I guess because he was in Barbershop, they had him host this show, and I do not know the name of it.
Was it a one-time
special?
It's called
Barber Battle.
Barber Battle.
Is that a series?
It is on the CW,
yes. Barber Battle.
It's the country's best hairstylists facing off against one another for a $15,000 payday and bragging rights in the tight-knit barbering community.
That's right.
And then they talk smack in between, like you hear at a barbershop.
How did you know that?
I don't know.
You do know. How do you know about this?
She knew about it from the beginning.
She did.
She had seen it. She said it's barber.
It's like, yeah. Like they're shaving pictures of people in the hair. And one goes, your shoes suck. That was the barber battle.
There's Friday Night at 8 on the CW.
My mouth was agape as I watched this. Many holes in my body were agape.
Yeah, don't want to.
What?
Many orify.
Nope.
Orifices?
Orifix? Don't want to know.
Orificionado?
Well, Kevin, you got a new show on the CW you can start watching.
Barber Battle.
There it is.
The host, Cedric the Entertainer, is 51 years old today. And singer Barbara Streisand, who I'm pretty sure is going to be on Barber Battle next week.
Is she?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, that's Barbara Battle. I'm sorry. Ah. Barber Battle is a different show. She is 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Why do you hate other races?
I know
we need to discover.
I don't even a little bit.
We need to get into that.
I'm saying if you go on an Adam Sandler movie, know what you're in for.
These Native Americans were promised that it would not be the case.
But did
promises
Adam Sandler
were made, and when they got on the set, they were lied to, and that's why they were upset.
And white people never lie to Indians.
That's right. True. Bean's got a point.
Kevin wants them to get $24 worth of beads and some pox blankets and just be happy with it.
I don't. Right. I'm just saying know what you're in
you
for.
You like pox blankets.
I don't. I suspect like Kevin is a Washington Redskins fan. That's what I suspect. Right.
Not even a little bit.
Hey, listen, guys, real quick before we get into the topic here, Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at about 7:15, we've got information on this year's Weenie Roast, and I don't think you're going to want to miss that because it's a big deal, and it's something we look forward to every single summer. We can't tell you that the date is going to be the 16th of May, that much I can tell you, but you'll get all the other information about who's playing and tickets and all that stuff. Monday morning, 7:15, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Please make plans to join us.
We may have a special announcement about Worst Thumb. We'll have to wait and see if that's going to be the case or not. Because
you literally don't know yet.
Because we really don't know yet. I had to talk to Noodles and say, are we really doing this? Is this a thing?
I hope he says yes.
Have a conversation.
All right, a couple of days ago, Ralph, you brought up something that I thought might be an interesting phone topic, because I bet that something that crossed your mind is something that some of our listeners have done, and that is trying to figure out a way to become actual friends with celebrities.
Yes.
Sometimes you watch about what's going on in your neighborhood.
Sometimes you watch a celebrity and you appreciate their work, and there's something about the quality of that person's character or their nature or what they seem to be that really strikes a chord with you and say, you know, above and beyond just liking this person's movie or TV show or music or work, I get a sense that if we had any sort of social interaction, we would actually become friends. We would be good friends.
Sure. Sometimes, I'm sure you feel that way.
No, sometimes I think certain performers do strike you that way. And I don't think it happens all the time unless you're a lunatic. That you think everyone is going to be your friend.
But everybody could be my friend.
Isn't that the X factor that makes those people famous, though, is because lots of people feel that way about them? They have some sort of affection or attraction to them?
Maybe, but there's lots of stars who do good work that I look at and I say, well, I don't think we would go out and have a beer together and enjoy each other's company. I might like their work, but I don't get the sense that we have any sort of connection that would make us good friends. Do you feel that way with everyone that you like the work of?
No, certainly not.
It's like David Letterman, for example.
You shouldn't feel that way about anyone, first of all.
David Letterman I'm a huge David Letterman fan. Perhaps no one has shaped my sense of humor more than David Letterman over the course of my lifetime. I get the sense that hanging out with him would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
I would not want to have a meal with that guy.
Yeah, he makes you laugh, but you do feel like in personal life he's probably not.
And don't get you started on Kibble. That guy's a dick.
Oh, that guy, I know for a fact, is a major prick. But there is an actor named Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who I've enjoyed his work in the past. He was on Ally's show. What the hell was
Grey's
his name?
Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy. He was Demi.
And he was also in he played the comedian in the Watchmen movie, Zack Snyder's film. But I really sort of came to connect with him in a show called Magic City that he did on Stars, or the Stars Network, where he played a Don Draper-esque sort of casino owner back in the 50s in Miami. I loved the series.
Is that when you started hanging out in his backyard?
Well, listen, just wait. Can I tell the story the right way so you'd be all crazy about
it? That garage door was unlocked. Ralph didn't break in, Kevin.
So it turns out that Jeffrey Dean Morgan was like a neighbor of mine. Literally around the corner, lived around the corner.
Right.
And once
and
I
that
discovered
gave you a right
fact,
to take a shower in his shower?
Once I discovered the fact.
That didn't mean he wanted you to kidnap his dog, Ralph.
I started to reroute my Reggie walk.
Your dog walk?
My dog Reggie.
Okay.
I rerouted it so that I could leisurely amble past Jeffrey Dean Morgan's place.
Did you slow down at all?
It's not creepy at all.
Did you slow down a little bit?
Of course I did. Sometimes I would linger. Sometimes I would kind of look around.
Come on, Reggie.
Because I figured at some point Jeffrey Dean Morgan's going to come out to work on his cool motorcycle they had parked there in the driveway, or maybe shoot some hoops in the basket, and he's going to come out, and I go, hey, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, nice to meet you. I'm a neighbor. Nice to meet you.
I just made 10 in a row. You want to go?
I'm from the neighborhood. Yeah, what are you up to? Let's walk down and get a brew, or let's you want to shoot some hoops or something? Or
now let me ask you a serious question.
And then we would hit it off, and he would be my neighbor, and then we could hang out and do neighbor stuff.
You say a lot of stuff on this show that you're just being funny.
Yes.
Is this one of them?
I honestly thought that if we had any social interaction,
he would love you.
That we have similar personalities. I've seen like a guy's guy, a good dude, that we would hit it off. I think we would hit it off.
What was his response when you made him toast?
I never made him toast. So Ralph, I slid it through the postal slot in the front door. I had no idea whether he actually ever got it or not.
So you would stand there in front of his house.
Log out, Reggie
is already pooped and wants to get home.
Out. I'd stroll by.
You're just thinking, eventually this guy's got to come home from work.
And I would linger
and
look around a little bit, and then I would go about my business. But I did it on a regular enough basis that I was hoping at one time we would cross paths.
Reggie's like, don't want to go on another walk. Why do I have to go on another walk?
His little bloody paws at the end of his stumpy legs.
You're dragging him down the street.
Now, you've never met him.
You know what? The funny thing is,
you have met him.
No. He was. I believe that he and his lovely wife, who's also a beautiful and talented actress, who was in.
And what's her social security number?
is in White Collar. Played Neil's girlfriend in White Collar.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, that's his wife.
Okay.
And they were getting ready to leave the neighborhood, despite my chaining myself to
maybe
her car.
Because of
maybe
there's this creepy guy in a leather jacket was always out in front of her house.
He's walking his dog. So, and he stops.
We're at our local favorite restaurant. And there they are sitting at a table at the local favorite restaurant when we come in to sit down. I mean, literally next to us.
Mm-hmm. You're in.
And my wife's like, well, there he is.
Do you think he leaned down and went, don't say
hi, don't say hi, don't say hi, don't say hi, don't say hi.
And I couldn't bring myself in a restaurant where he's talking to his wife and they've got their kid there. And they're obviously after evening out. I'm not going to interrupt their meal and say, hey, by the way, I live near you. I wasn't going to be that guy. I thought it had to sort of be semi-organic or else it would have just been
And by semi-organic, you mean completely set up and
not at
walking
all.
Your dog
walking
in
the
front
dog
of his...
anyway. And if I walk around the corner and I pass his house and he comes out and we run into each other, that is a completely normal way you meet your neighbors.
All right. We're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who also believe that a celebrity, singer, actor, actress, comedian, whatever, would be best friends with you if they just met you. If they just so you scheme to be their friend.
You scheme to be his friend. No scheming.
You changed where you took Reggie on a walk.
It was like a block out of my way.
But you did for that specific purpose.
You never know.
So you do know for the most. Never know for the most part. You do know.
How would you know if you don't know?
We're looking for people who have Ralphed it, who have gone changed their routine and figured out a way that they could be someplace where a celebrity was because the plan was that they were going to become personal off-screen friends. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, Allie, you reacted in horror when Ralph told you the story.
Ooh, creepy.
What hit you about him standing out in front of Jeffrey Dean Morgan's house?
I think it was the lingering part.
Slow down a little
Not
bit.
The masturbating?
I'm not going to run past his house. Oh, I hope I don't run into this guy. If I want to run into him, why wouldn't I linger a little bit? Why wouldn't I slow my walk down? That's the reason I'm doing it, right?
Right. That's creepy.
No, it's not creepy.
It's creepy.
What did Alice say about...
She went to a store.
Yeah,
I had heard that Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks shop at a certain grocery store because they always hang out together.
Right.
So when I was at that grocery store that I go to anyway.
Oh, I see.
I did maybe pay special attention looking down, you know,
did you slow
aisles.
Down? Did you slow down at all?
A little.
A little bit.
Oh,
you lingered.
A little.
You scheme. Lingered. Scheme. Linger. Linger scheme.
Linger scheme.
Creepy alert. Creepy alert. Creepy alert. Creepy alert.
But if you can imagine how often that happens to celebrities, right? Wouldn't you guess that happens a lot?
But like when you, people.
I know, but when they're shopping, do they see Allie lingering and go, okay, I'm going to go down this other aisle because she's been there a while.
And let's be honest. I want to be friends with Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks.
Well, that's
what's
true.
Going on
whole
with me?
Thing. You're an old
Better get on that fast.
Jewish man, apparently.
All right, do we want to take a call here or do we want to wait?
We want to take a break. We'll take a break. 1-800-520-1067. What celebrity have you schemed to be friends with and how's that going? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Remember when Bean was obsessed with Twin Peaks and he was in love with Sherilyn Finn? Remember that?
God, yeah. the dreaded candy bar incident.
He put a candy bar on her doorstep.
And then what happened?
Love the word. She moved.
She moved.
None of that is she true, moved. By the way. You built what? That up as a myth. It's not true.
Oh, what part of it is not true?
The part where her moving from that apartment had anything to do with the candy bar that the show left.
And so you know why she moved then. You know exactly why she moved.
You know
moved.
That because you've talked to her?
Somebody else did. We heard from somebody else okay. That's not the reason she moved.
Well, then Jeffrey Dean Morgan didn't move out of my neighborhood because I was walking my dog in front of his house.
We bring that up to say we're talking to people at 1-800-520-1067 who have schemed, and I know that word hurts you, Ralph, but schemed to become friends with a celebrity. There's a celebrity out there that you know that you guys would be friends with if only they got to know you. So you've altered your routine, put yourself in their path so that they will meet you and you guys can become friends. Ralph tried to do that with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It didn't work out so much for him. Let's see how it worked for Vanessa. She's in Winnetka, and she's on line eight to get us going here on K-Rock.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hey. So I am completely, totally, and utterly convinced that Dave Grohl and I would be best friends.
By the way, everyone is convinced that Dave Grohl and you would be best friends.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick.
Because he's a good call. He's that dude.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So how did you arrange this?
I actually went ahead and I got a job about 4 years ago at the mall that I heard that he would go to often. And
you got a job there because you heard he goes to that mall sometimes.
Yep.
Sweet.
And actually, 4 to 5 people that I used to work with have seen him right there. And I think it was each day that I was off of work. And so I never actually got to meet him. And I was really bummed. But we'd be best friends. Swear to God.
You would be best friends.
You would be best friends. Yeah. I bet you would.
I bet.
You seem very nice.
I'm sorry it didn't work out for you, though.
Yeah. A little stalkerish, but okay.
No, it didn't.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Victoria in Burbank. She's on line one. She's got
walking. As an aside, it's funny that she says that her coworkers say, oh, yeah, he was just in yesterday on her days off. My wife did that to me constantly. She'd be like,
really?
She's like, I just saw Jeff walking down the street. Yeah, did you see him? I
said,
no.
Chain?
When did you see him? Like, he was coming out of his house. I don't know. I said, did you say anything? I said, hi. And he said, hi. It's like, oh, come on. So frustrating.
Victoria has dog walking also involved in her plan, Ralph. So maybe you guys can get some notes together to see how it works. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the Kevin DeMeade Show.
Good morning, you guys.
Hey, Victoria. Hey. What's your plan? Who do you want to meet?
Actually, it's not really a plan. I'm hearing that you guys are talking about scheming. I just happen to see Kevin Smith all the time when I'm walking dogs.
Okay.
And I
wait a minute. Hold on, though. Did you alter your dog walking system at all so that you would run into him?
No, but I did figure out where he lived. I just kind of put two and two together. So I'll walk past his house.
I see.
Ah, there you go.
And have you guys met?
Actually, yes, we've spoken. We've said hello. We've had some conversations. I've met his dogs. Mm-hmm.
Are you best friends?
Yeah, we're best friends.
Nice. Well done.
Ralph could double check that one.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little research into you, Victoria, and see how Kevin really feels.
Wouldn't you love to hear this story from Kevin Smith's perspective?
Yeah.
I think he would like me. He would tell you I'm a cool dude.
Right.
I'm sure he will.
When Ralph
thank you, Victoria. I will be contacting the authorities.
Let's go to Sherry in Woodland Hills. She's got a celebrity who lives nearby. Let's find out what she's doing about it. Hi, Sherry. What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
I with you, Ralph, I had a dog walk linger scheme as well.
A dog walk linger
not
scheme.
The team, Sherry.
They're playing Weenie Roast, although we're not allowed to announce it.
Who did you want to meet?
Alyssa Milano.
Oh, good choice.
Good call. All right.
Oh, yeah. Very good choice. Her boyfriend lived in my apartment building, and I would watch on my balcony to see when she was outside, and then I would quickly put my dog on a leash and take her outside and casually stroll by and linger a little bit and hope my dog would poop right there when I needed her.
Come on, dog. Come on, poop. You poop now. I need this poop.
The dog laxatives.
When that happened, did you then strike up a conversation with Alyssa Milano out on the street?
I didn't. I did say she did say hi to me once.
She said hi to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good start.
That was nice.
But that was it.
I bought a pair of board shorts like hers, thinking maybe that would help.
Yeah, if you had board shorts in common, that would be awesome. Oh.
Did you think she was going to see your board shorts and go, hey, I've got those?
Yes.
Oh, Sherry.
I want to be Sherry's best friend now. She's the best.
That's a little bit sad, though, right, you guys?
No.
It's totally sad.
Sweet.
It's 100%
it's adorable.
Sad.
Thank you, Sherry. All right.
It's Alyssa Milano's loss, Sherry, that you're not best friends with her.
Let's do one more. Thank you for the call, dear. Let's do Jason in Whittier, please, on line three. This will have to be our last one because we got Courtney Cox coming up next.
Hey, Jason.
How's it going, fellas?
Good, thank you.
Who's your celebrity you're stalking?
Well, he's in your studio. It's Mr. Ralph Garman.
Oh.
What? What? How's this working?
I believe celebrity was in the question.
How dare you, Kevin?
You need to do is hang out at Jeffrey Dean Morgan's house.
Or the Improv in Hollywood on Friday night.
Oh, you come out for Babylon.
Absolutely. I've been going since the name that shouldn't be spoken, that club.
Thank you. Okay, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So and have you talked to this Ralph Garman? What do you think of him?
Absolutely. I brought him food and a drink. The Hot Pockets and Juice Box.
Oh, yeah. I remember them well, Jason. You're very kind.
My wife and I, we would go to, we've been to like a dozen or so, over a dozen of those.
Well, she's like, I appreciate your support.
He's not going to be a friend of yours. Just let's stop going.
I would hang out and wait. And, I had him sign T-shirts and we'd talk and, try to strike up conversations. I'm a fan of comic books. So actually, Ralph, if you'd like to come over to my house in my basement.
He would.
See my Spider-Man collection. It's amazing.
He wants to show you his Spider-Man in his basement.
If it wasn't in a basement, I'd feel a lot more comfortable, Jason.
Our friend Adam Carolla joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock with This Week in Rage. First, though, after all the years we've been watching Courtney Cox on Cougar Town and on Friends and Family Ties and the Scream movies, well, now she's gone and made a movie. She is a director and producer of a new film that's in theaters today called Just Before I Go. We're very excited to welcome Courtney Cox to the Kevin DeBean Show. I want to say for the first time ever, hi, Courtney. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
I wonder sometimes, it seems like it's a lot easier to be an actor than to be a director. What makes you want to take on all the additional headaches of everybody else's problems?
That's a good question. I think it's harder in some ways, but it also just keeps you really, you're involved in everything, and that makes it more interesting and it's more challenging sometimes. And you do put yourself up there, because I'm watching during screenings, and you go, wow, you feel responsible for every part of everything that's on the screen.
After
every
having
performance, it's like, oh, no.
After having done that now, are you going to go back to just not being or do you want to direct a lot?
I definitely want to keep directing. I did about 10 episodes of Cougar Town, and I'd done a Lifetime movie and a short. But I will continue to do it for sure. I love this film, and I want to keep making them with a little more money and a little more time.
Yeah, and let's get into that a little bit, because you talked about how you were in the mood and you had the time to make a movie, but you were surprised, A, how hard it was to find a script that you liked, and this one really did it for you, and B, how expensive it is and how hard it is to get money to make a small movie in 2015, right?
Yeah, it's really hard. The thing with the script, Dave Labat wrote a script that's it's irreverent, it's laugh out loud funny. It's also very poignant and deals with a lot of heavy issues, but done in such a way that you kind of go like, whoa, and then you laugh. And you go on a ride, but you have to know it's a comedy. It's something that the characters jumped off the page for me, and the story was so beautiful. So I wanted to do that, but you can't really get great actors unless you have financing, and you can't get financing unless you have great actors.
Ah.
So it was one of these things where I was like, okay, it's going to take time to do this, and I knew I wanted to make it during my hiatus between Cougar Town seasons,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I just decided to finance it myself. I really believe in it.
Now, as a director, do you start going, come on, people, let's go. We got to keep these moving.
We got 23 days here.
This is my money now.
You would think so, but it's interesting. Once you say, here's the budget, or when someone says, here's what you can make this for, Courtney, and you say, okay, I'll give this money, then I just left it up to my producers and said, yeah, and then they would say, Courtney, you got to wrap it up.
Wow.
Yeah. I forgot it was mine.
I was also surprised.
Now
you're horrified.
My bad.
By the thought.
Now until it opens tonight, and this is my shot. Come on, guys.
So if the Kevin Amin listeners don't go see this movie, you lose your home. That's basically what you're telling us, right, Courtney?
Yes.
Everybody go.
Tell us about the lead character and the choices that he makes, and tell us about getting Sean William Scott as the lead.
The lead character is Sean William Scott, and he is he really wanted to play this part because it's completely opposite of any of the movies you've seen him in. He's really earnest and sincere, and he's more of the straight man in this, but he's the one who's struggling. And I feel, did I already tell you what the story's about?
No.
No.
Okay. The story's about a guy who wants to end his life,
It's a comedy.
Yeah.
Always funny. Always funny. He wants to end his life, but before he does, he goes back to his hometown to confront some of the people that had wronged him in his past. People like Rob Riggle, who was the school bully. Now, awesome. You know that's funny.
Awesome. Yes.
Anytime Rob Riggle is in anything I watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got the best cast. You wouldn't believe. I mean, every single actor is fantastic. And they've committed like you wouldn't believe. And some of the stuff is pretty outrageous.
Was it a difficult line to walk, though, between this guy wants to end his life, but it's funny,
yeah,
but he wants to end his life?
It was definitely hard to find the tone, because you want people to be invested and really pull for him, but at the same time, you want them to be able to laugh and relax and go, okay, it's going to be all right.
Right.
But the subject matter is intense, not just the part of him wanting to end his life. There's a lot of things that go on, a lot of, you know, there's bullying, and there's just a lot of stuff. You'll see, but, or you better see. I mean, please see. Anyway, but besides the subject matter, it's done in a way that, you know, it's sometimes really inappropriate humor, which I like. It goes out on a limb. It's definitely a bold movie. It's not quiet.
I love that you said in an interview that to kind of get through some of the moments, you even used music to set the tone and make it funnier, which I never thought a song could make kind of the whole thing shift.
Well, you know, what I first put in the movie, like when you watch the opening scene, I had Comfortably Numb.
Not an upbeat song.
Not an upbeat song, but it was beautiful, and it was exactly what I wanted. But people were like, whoa, this is going to be really serious. And then someone comes out and does something outrageous, like Kate Walsh, who was asleep. Can I say it on the air?
Sure.
Somebody who touches himself at night?
Sure.
Okay. All right, I don't know what you're allowed to do. But anyway, so you're like, wait, I don't know. Am I supposed to laugh? But if you put in music that is really kind of, you know, imagine the Odd Couple music. That guy was depressed as all get out, but with that kind of music, you know what you're getting into. So I just had to make sure that... You know who wrote the score is Sacha Baron Cohen's brother, Aaron Baron Cohen.
No kidding.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know he had a musician brother. That's cool.
Yeah, he scores all of Sacha's movies and a lot more. But and then I have great original songs by Snow Patrol. How lucky am I?
Gee, how'd you get them?
How'd you get them?
I don't know. I had to sleep with them. One of the guys in there.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Same.
Did you find yourself changing the music?
I didn't do that for farts and stuff, but, you know.
Did you find yourself changing?
I'm looking at me right now like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Shut your trap.
Did you find yourself changing the music as the process went along? Like, did you think one thing would work and then go, no, I need to do
well,
something?
I tell you what I found is that I played it for Johnny, and he was like, no, that has to change. Nope, that hasn't changed.
Okay.
So he was really instrumental in helping me pick out songs. And he introduced me to this guy, Foy Vance, who is one of my favorite artists, who gave me four songs for the film.
Oh,
so,
cool.
So, I mean, Johnny elevated the music like you wouldn't believe. And Gary Lightbody was, you know, together, they did so much.
This is the voice of Courtney Cox here on the Kevin Beach Show, director, producer of a new film that's available called Just Before I Go in theaters today. Now, before we let you go, Courtney, you're going to be making some appearances in front of some of the screenings this weekend, question and answer from the audience, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be there after the 7:15 showing and after the 7:15 on Saturday. I'm also going to introduce the film tonight. Now, those two shows are sold out. I need people to go see all the other shows.
Okay.
So don't do the one that she's going to be at. It's already sold out.
Well, at 10 o'clock, I'll introduce it and make sure you know to laugh.
And let me ask you one more question, Courtney, because I know you shot this movie locally. Were you like, did you guerrilla film make this? Because you were shooting it like in Studio City. Were you just setting up and hoping you could shoot it before the police came and made you move along, or did you get permits?
You know what? Actually, for the small amount of money, it was done for $1.5 million, and we did it in Union. We did it legit.
Wow.
Legit.
The only thing was, you know, you don't realize how much you should appreciate the mountains, the bougainvillea, and the palm trees in California. Because when you're trying to shoot outside of Boston, they are everywhere.
All right. The movie is called Just Before I Go. Go see it. So Courtney Cox isn't homeless. So great to have you on the Kevin Beach Show. Congratulations on the film. We'll talk to you again, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
I feel like there's been very little progress on your Bad Finger tribute band, Worst Thumb, today.
Hold
like, we're
on.
Not, I thought we have a lot going on by now with your band.
It was born yesterday.
That's true. Right. We need progress.
Jeez. But yesterday you were... gratification world you live in.
No,
it was born yesterday, and Noodles of the Offspring signed up for it yesterday.
Right, and I think that's what got my hopes high, is that this thing was really going to happen, and that we'd be moving forward, and that we'd have some sort of a, you know, some sort of a plan by now.
Bean thought you'd be playing the forum tonight.
Yeah, easy, easy. Takes a little while to put together a super group, my friend.
So you've abandoned the idea it's not going to happen.
That's not the case at all.
That's what it seems like to me.
Well, you're mistaken.
Okay. All right. You'll get back to us then if there's any progress on
Worst Thumb? Worst Thumb lives.
Okay. Is Chip still in as your bass player?
Chip is still in.
Well, okay. When she's out, that's what we'll know.
And pending Pat Smear's level of interest, Chip is still in.
All right. And you got Noodles. Noodles is a go.
Noodles is absolutely. And he is rock solid.
Yeah.
Have we heard back from Grohl?
We have not heard from Grohl yet. I haven't put the feeler out to Grohl yet.
Okay.
Well, so what are you waiting
right
for?
I've got to spend some time with Pat this weekend.
Okay, all right.
And through Pat, I'm going to put a call out to Grohl and see what happens.
Okay.
Jeez. Is everything all right now?
I feel better knowing that it's still
Then we're
going to
get in the studio, and then we're going to rock out a little. I don't know. I don't even know what song we'll start with. What do you think, Chip? What do you think about the first one? Without You? That's tough. That's a tough one.
Well, last night at like 10 o'clock, Noodles tweeted, I've got Baby Blue down. Yeah. Still working on Come and Get It, and No Matter What. Yeah. Are we doing Without You? He's working on it, Bean.
Yeah, he's working on it.
Wow. Okay.
I think No Matter What, it's going to have to be our big single off the new album.
Nobody knows it anyway.
No matter what you are.
Fine, I've heard it.
I will always be with you.
Good, fine.
Doesn't matter what you do,
See
girl.
What you did, Bean?
Yep. Ooh, girl, won't you bang, 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 no matter where you go.
Yeah.
I got a groupie. We've got our first groupie.
Yeah!
Worst Thumb. She's showing her cans already. Worst Thumb lives. We're going to go out there and do some spray paint graffiti today. Worst Thumb lives.
Please do that.
Stop all the rumors that we've broken up. All right. Let's talk about show business. Bruce Jenner, big interview tonight. Diane Sawyer, 2-hour special. Wednesday, the New York Daily News published a front-page picture of a person they said was Bruce wearing a dress.
It wasn't?
It has not been confirmed.
Wow.
It's the New York Daily News, too, by the way, which is...
Oh, is it tabloid-esque?
Yeah, tabloid-esque. Right. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. But Diane will be plugging the show on various ABC shows this morning. She'll be on Good Morning America, Live with Kelly and Michael, and The View. But I think they're overselling this at all.
Yeah.
Look, I respect his choice enormously. I think it takes an enormous amount of courage to do what he's doing. I just wish there was a little less circus around it. I wish it was a little bit more sort of everyday for all of us, so that we could all just live in a world where folks who feel they were born in the wrong gender were able just to take care of that, and it's not a big thing.
Is this first time that it's been that big of a star that has done it?
Yes, there are people who have become stars by doing it.
Right.
But I don't believe a celebrity has ever made this change. Maybe Chastity Bono, perhaps, would be the first one. Chaz Bono.
What about, not a big star, but what about one of David Arquette's brothers, remember, became a woman?
That's true.
He was an actor.
Right. Alexis, yeah. I want to say.
Alexis, right, yeah. Arquette. Was fairly high profile at the time. Yeah. But you're right, it doesn't happen often. But I'm also 100% with
and
you.
And Stephen Weber, of course. Stephen Weber from Wings and from The Comedians, the show recently, Comedians with Billy Crystal and Josh Gad.
I think that
he's now
just
a woman.
He's a woman now.
Director on the show.
Just a character.
Came back
character
as
on the show.
Yeah.
Outshout everybody you win.
Anyway, if you're interested, it's there. That's all I'm telling you right now.
All right.
A lot of people were upset with Jeremy Renner and Chris Evans because they called the Black Widow a slut and whore in an interview. A lot of backlash. Here's the thing. It was meant to be a joke.
It's
not a truly misogynistic remark.
Black Widow's not a real person either.
She doesn't exist.
That's part of it. She doesn't exist.
They were sort of blowing out of proportion the fact that she ends up with the Hulk in the movie instead of their character, so they're sort of playing up sort of faux anger and outrage about that fact. The whole thing's just a big put-on, kids. We're just trying to have a little fun here. What's going on with these interviews with the Avengers? First, Robert Downey Jr. gets slammed by that British guy, and now these guys are taking heat. Yeah, I don't know. You listen to the audio. You tell me. Is it a gag, or are they over the line?
I have a very serious question to start with about shipping, because I know a lot of fans were actually pretty invested in the idea of Natasha with actually either or both of you guys, and now obviously she's with Bruce. What do you guys make of that?
She's a slut.
I was going to say something along that line.
It's a complete whore.
What a trick, man.
Whatever movie it is, she'll just be the sidekick. She'll be flirting around.
That's right.
Just flirting with everybody.
She has a prosthetic leg anyway.
Leading everybody
that's
on.
That's right.
See, the interviewer's trying to bring it back to Scarlett Johansson, right. But that's not what the guys are talking
it's
about.
A character. We're talking a about fictional character.
The Black Widow doing that. This faux outrage is getting old.
This outrage machine is insane. And ladies, I'm one of you. Let's pick and choose our battles a little wiser. Because this is going to make people just anytime a real issue comes up, it's going to be the roll of the eyes and ugh.
But Allie, if people don't stand up for fictional comic book women today,
you're right.
What will the little fictional book girls of tomorrow, what will they grow up to be? I hadn't thought of it that way. Thank you.
You're right. I take it back.
I'm Ralph Garman. The more you know.
Bum, 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 bum.
Where's the outrage there? Excellent question, Muggs.
Last hour, I did a mention that George Clooney, who will also be my good friend one day.
Oh, really? Okay.
Signs his emails, Danny Ocean sometimes, just to F with his friends and leaves messages as Batman on their phones. That's just sweet, sweet, sweet to me.
Yeah.
Got an email from listener Edwin who currently writes in. He said, George Clooney didn't invent signing emails with famous film characters like Danny Ocean or Batman. You once did it to me, says Edwin. I don't remember this. He said, I sent you an email. You know how you replied? You signed it off as one of your most famous roles from House. That's right. I got an email signed from Bobby.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Well, that was pointless.
Come on.
I feel like that's getting a little incestuous.
It's Bobby!
It's Bobby!
That's what I'm saying. My spinoff show. David Shore, if you're listening, you still owe me that show. That seems like you've moved on to other things. And It's Bobby has gone by the wayside.
Maybe Worst Thumb can perform and bring it back.
Maybe. David Shore now doing Battle Creek. That seems to be his baby right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bobby. I have not heard.
It's Bobby.
I haven't heard a lot of movement on that series. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Barbara Streisand is 73 years old today. Jamin Hunsu celebrates his 51st birthday. Austin Nichols is 35. Kelly Clarkson is 33. And Cedric the Entertainer, not only a hilarious stand-up comedian and a fine actor in his own right, but the host of Barber Battle on the CW.
So this is real. You've done some research and it
exists. Oh, Barber Battle. I told you I saw it in what I thought was a fever dream.
Right.
But it turns out, no, there's actually a...
there was no NyQuil involved.
A competition reality show where Cedric the Entertainer brings together barbers who will barber off against each other in a barber battle. In the episode I saw, they were in the parking lot of the Queen Mary down Long Beach. Not really sure how that all tied in. But it happened. It's real. It exists. Friday night. I think it's on tonight on the CW if you want to check it out. And it's got a kick-ass theme song.
It's slice, dice, chop, chop, phase, braids, flat tops, baldies, dreads, designs on your head. It's all going down. A barber battle was said.
Barber battle in the house.
No,
it has nothing to do with Bobby.
Oh.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you about our pal Adam Carolla, Kevin. He is at the point now where he is producing so much material that it would be impossible to read everything he writes, to watch everything that he produces, to listen to everything that he puts up. He's creating more content that I can absorb in a day. How is that possible, Ace Man?
I'm just getting into my prime, and I'm probably overcompensating for sitting on a construction site walking in a circle for a decade with a bunch of illegals.
Well, the place to go is adamcarolla.com. There's lots of good stuff up there, including all the info on upcoming appearances, including May 6th at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are on sale now, just $25 through adamcarolla.com. You can also pre-order the new documentary film, Winning, The Racing Life of Paul Newman, and Adam's last film, Road Hard, and all the details about his TV show, Catch a Contractor, and his best-selling books, and so much more. The Ace Man is doing it for you, and it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at number three and work my way up to number one. My wife just got the new Tesla S.
Nice.
Sweet. Beautiful, beautiful vehicle. State of the art. Nothing like it on the road. And now we got to go through the process of sending the city money so they can send us stickers so we can put these crappy HOV stickers all over the side of the car so that the highway patrol will know it's a Tesla and know it's allowed to ride in the Diamond Lane.
Now, don't they know it's a Tesla?
That would be my argument. There's a huge badge on the back of the car. Guess what it says?
Tesla.
Tesla.
Tesla, yeah.
Tesla. There's a giant, shiny T badge that stands for what?
I don't know. Tesla. I think you said tea bag right there, and I'm not sure why.
Tea badge.
Oh, badge. Okay,
my
sorry.
Rap name.
My bad.
It's a badge. It's in the shape of a T, and you can see it from outer space, and it's on the back of the car. That's how you know it's a Tesla. By the way, Mercedes, Audi, Lexus, how do you know what they are? They have names on the back of the car.
Did you say it? Yeah.
Why do you have to look down by the bumper? What kind of stickers on that Lexus so I can see what it is? It's a Tesla. Recognize and stop making me put ugly, crappy stickers on the wife's $100,000 car.
Yeah, it is a beautiful automobile that the last thing you want to do is put a sticker on. That's for sure. I get that. Totally.
Elon Musk went over every single corner of that car and made it a rolling piece of art, and now I'm going to have to just put crappy stickers all over the side of it. And by the way, it's not like they're cool stickers, like no fat chicks or gas, grass, or ass, nobody rides for free, or pictures of ducks having sex saying Fly United or something like that, like something cool.
Right. Right.
These are just weird green stickers that the city gives you to desecrate your beautiful car. So anyway, cops, when you see a Tesla that says Tesla on it in the Diamond Lane, assume it's a Tesla and let us get the hell on with our lives. All right. I've come up with an invention that is going to not only blow your guys' minds, but unite this city.
Wow. Okay.
Minds blown. City united.
I'm ready.
All right. You know how all these guys out of San Francisco are taking, like, the croissant, and they're baking it into a muffin, and they're making a muffant or whatever. Everyone's doing something.
Right.
Like, the muffin and the croissant were broken.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, somebody ate a croissant and was miserable. Oh, God. What'd you have to do this morning? Frank, why the bad mood in the office? I had to eat a croissant this morning. Oh, you think that's bad? I'd eat a muffin. Oh, the humanity. But all right, you idiots, mash up your muffins and your croissants and whatever else you're doing over there. I got the ultimate food here and the ultimate uniter.
Okay.
We got a heavy Hispanic population out here in the San Fernando Valley. We got lots of Armenian folks. They don't always get along that great. I have a uniter, and they both have broken food that needs fixing, and I'm putting it together.
Okay.
My friend, it's called the baklaro.
The baklaro.
The baklaro.
Baklaro.
Baklaro. Yeah. It's baklava and churro.
Baklava.
Baklaro. I haven't worked it out.
I'm just trying to understand what you're saying.
Baklaro.
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 All right. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
Baklava is the greatest dessert ever. It's simply too short. It's like 2 inches long. Churros are 16 inches of crap. They're too long. They're like they're a crappy long donut. But if you took the churro and the baklava and you made a piece of baklava that was a foot and a half long, you'd be in heaven. You understand me?
Yes.
The only thing wrong with baklavas is it's too damn short, and the only thing wrong with churros is it's too damn long and it sucks.
Okay.
We combine the two for a super long baklaro. Churro. Chukorba.
I feel like maybe you're going to need to make this.
Yeah, maybe get back to us.
You guys don't want in on this.
Well, I'm pretty sure we don't.
What'd you guys do? Do you guys want to pass on Uber about 5 years ago?
And it sounds like you're so close to coming home with it, too. I can't believe we're walking away. I think we're willing to take that risk.
Okay, this isn't Shark Tank, by the way. It's not on the table. I'm going to get rich from this one alone. I don't need any seed money. Any baklaro seed money.
Well, I wish you well with that.
Okay, Bean, a piece of baklava, 14 inches long? Tell me you wouldn't get into that.
I think I'm going to, I believe I'm going to pass this time, Mr. Kroger.
All right, then I'll just get rich alone. That'll be me. All right. And number one, this city, you know, you talk about this whole thing, what's going on with the schools and the iPads and they're giving the iPads out to the kids, and it's a complete disaster because, you know, anytime the city tries to hand out iPads or cheese or anything, it's all disaster. It just no, it doesn't work. I have an idea.
Does it include baklava?
This is Maven. It may even be better.
All right.
Have you guys ever been to a funeral and there's like one guy? I went to my mother-in-law's funeral, and my stepdad was standing there, and he's wearing a red members-only jacket. And I think to myself, don't you have a black blazer or even a sweater that's black that you could wear? Or you see the people on People's Court, and the guy's standing there, and he's dressed like Jimmy Buffett. And you think, don't you have one dark sweater, just one black V-neck sweater that says, you know, I'm sorry or I'm somber or whatever? I've come up with a program. I want everyone in this city to be handed a black sweater. All these asswipes that are wearing the stupid T-shirts to the funerals and the court and all that kind of stuff. It's a program called Sweaters from Earners. And it'll be guys like me that adopt another guy, and I send him a black V-neck sweater. It costs me $12. I get it from Old Navy. And then he writes me letters on his progress, like, hey, they lowered my bail by $2,000. And it's a picture of him and the bailiff. You know what I mean? I used to wear this gravy-stained T-shirt to court. Now I have a sweater. And, by the way, My half-sister's gravely ill, so I guess I'll be wearing it again. Shouldn't everyone have one black sweater in their arsenal?
I don't think I do.
Job interviews. Funerals.
Being you have a black sweater?
I have a suit, though, Kevin. I mean, what
I got a suit. I mean, I bought one a week ago.
All right, but you wear the board shorts to a funeral?
I mean, that's what I have.
I think your point is that it wouldn't hurt for everybody to have an appropriate item of clothing for those occasions. Absolutely.
I'm saying if the government's going to give something away to everybody, wouldn't you like it to be just one decent sweater so they could get a goddamn job?
Sure, why not? Absolutely. Adam Carolla is a man who's never had a bad idea, and if you don't believe it, just ask him. You can see him on stage at the Irvine Improv on Wednesday night, May the 6th. Tickets available at adamcarolla.com. And while you're there, why not pre-order both of his recent movies, Winning, The Racing Life of Paul Newman, and Road Hard. Ace Man, have a great week, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Friday morning. We'll be singing that song you love in just a few minutes to get us into the weekend. I'm still kind of bummed out about Blink 182 breaking up. How do you feel about that, Kevin? Does that affect you at all?
It bums me out a bit, yeah.
I love those guys. Yeah, I love those guys together. But Matt Skiba, the new guitarist for the band, the guy who replaced Tom, looks like he's talking about how they're seriously talking about making a new Blink album, just moving on, this being the new lineup. Of course, we've heard from Mark Hoppus, we've heard from Travis, but we've not yet heard from Tom DeLonge. He, of course, is moving on as well with his new Angels and Airways album that just came out called To the Stars this past week. We welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show our friend Tom DeLonge on K-Rock right now. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, my old friends.
Well, it's great to talk to you. As I was mentioning, we've heard from Travis Barker. We haven't talked to you yet since Blink 182 broke up. How are you feeling?
I'm trying my best to keep my head up, but it's obviously not a good situation professionally.
Right, exactly. But it sounds like you've been very, very busy, including this new solo album called To the Stars that you just released.
It's been therapeutic to work creatively when I have personal differences with Travis and Mark. I can bury myself in my music. Yeah.
And when I saw the album was called To the Stars, I confess I rolled my eyes a little bit because I know how you are about things having to do with outer space.
Shut your goddamn mouth.
Well, you love it.
I'm a well-studied, well-versed, what do they call guys who study science? Astronomist. And I know a lot about the cosmos. And,
So, did the aliens help you write these songs, Tom? Is that what's going on?
I actually provided you with some clips of my album, To the Stars, and it's about intergalactic war, and it has nothing to do with my old bandmates and any type of grudge I may hold.
Well, that's good to hear.
Very excited. All right, Kevin, what's our first clip here from the new Tom DeLonge record?
Yeah. Singing a song about war, 'cause there's war all over the world, and people die, and there's bad stuff in war, and I was in Blink 182, and now I'm not, they owe me.
That sounds... It sounds exactly like
Shut
a crutch.
Bitch.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I said that the theme of this album was intergalactic war, not grudges.
Right, okay, but you mentioned them by name.
Play the second clip.
There are people all over the world and some that live in the cosmos. Okay, hardly relevant, but I'm venting right now. Yeah, oh yeah, pay me for this war. Christianity and space. What? Yeah,
that's got a lot of
track.
Seems like that's got a lot of personal information in there about the band as well.
I don't agree whatsoever. That was clearly about how the Spanish Inquisition applies to the rings of Saturn.
All right, we're talking to Tom DeLonge about his new record called To the Stars. He said it's not at all autobiographical, but I do think we have one more clip to play for Tom.
Political differences about social issues and socioeconomic chasms. Yeah, chasm. Got that word from Word of the Day. You good words. Blink 182 guys are dicks. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and space is pretty amazing. It's vast. And war.
Is that one finished?
Yeah, it's amazing. I feel like that's some of my best work. Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Come on, Ralph.
Where's
How great is this going to be when your band does this song?
Yes, I got what I deserve.
Does this band need a...
Could you waiting there too long, my love?
Have you decided whether you're going to be singing or not, Ralph? Is that going to be your plan in Wrong Fun? What do you think?
I'm sorry, what happens?
Are you singing? Are you going to be the singer for sure? Or are you farming that out, hoping to attract
someone? Stunned and blown away by that question that you don't even...
As if anyone else could do it?
Thank you, Kevin!
You're welcome.
Any of what just happened as you were playing Baby Blue there?
I heard you singing along like you were in your car, yeah.
I heard a song that didn't need to be redone.
I'm just wondering if you might just be the drummer and still run the band.
What? The what?
And maybe get somebody else with a little more experience to sing. I don't know how you're able.
Now you're just rattling the cage.
He
now
just
you're just
took off his earrings and shoes.
Now you're just poking the gorilla.
Okay. All right, so you've settled on you as the lead singer for Wrong Fun.
Oh, Bean, come on.
Stop it, man.
He's getting so mad.
Okay.
Angry.
I think that's a good choice. Time for the show to speak now. Here's one.
People say, why are you so mean to Bean? Why are you so mean to Bean? I understand why you're so mean to Bean. You're so mean to Bean. Because Bean's a dick.
I was just asking. I wasn't sure what the plan was.
Bean demands meanness. He will not stop short of that.
He says, I'm not leaving here until you poop all over me. I demand it.
Just as insistent.
So we give it to him.
Of course I'm the lead singer of Wrong Thumb.
Okay.
Worst Thumb.
What's it called again?
Wrong Thumb.
I like Wrong.
Wrong Thumb, actually. Bad finger and Wrong Thumb. That kind of works, too. All right, let's talk about show business news for the last time this week before we get to the big old weekend. Tragic news. Last night it was discovered that the kid who played one of the twins on Everybody Loves Raymond with Ray Romano from 1996 to 2005 is dead of a suspected suicide at the age of 19. I can't believe those kids are 19 already. Sawyer Sweeten was his name. He and his twin brother Sullivan played Ray Romano's twin sons Jeffrey and Michael Barone on that show. Their real-life older sister Madeline played Allie Barone. As you can imagine, the family is devastated, and as well as the cast is as well. But, 19 years old, allegedly took his life on the front porch of the family home there in Texas with a gunshot. So, just tragic news. And
There's nothing really to say other than, like the family says, we beg you to reach out to the ones you love. I mean, if you can sense that there's something wrong with depression or mental illness with someone you love, maybe sometimes you can get them in treatment and stop a tragedy from like that from happening. So, really sad. Big Sean and Ariana Grande, they've split up. That's also really sad.
Is that as sad?
Yeah, I think just about. Because they sure were delicious together. They were two great tastes that taste great together.
Now, did they have sizzle?
No.
Don't be ridiculous.
No, Ariana Grande was on stage here in Los Angeles, and Justin Bieber got up on stage. And you know what happened? Sizzle.
That's where the sizzle was.
That's where the sizzle was. And Big Sean was out of town, and everybody's taking pictures of Bieber grinding up on his lady on stage there because there was sizzle between the two of them. It caused a major upheaval, and now it's all over.
So Big Sean didn't stand a chance after that.
No, not after sizzle.
Stop saying the word sizzle.
Big Sean also feels that he did most of the traveling for their relationship, that she orchestrated that moment with Justin Bieber on stage to...
to burn him!
Burn him.
Honestly, if she was going to burn him, do you use Bieber?
Oh, you didn't see the sizzle, Kevin.
Come on.
There was sizzle between those
Seriously.
Two. There was serious sizzle.
There wasn't.
So this all was, the papers talked about the sizzle.
This was Scarlett and Gunner on Nashville. They couldn't help but just electricity, just sparks flying whenever they sing together.
I just hear the music.
Right.
And she's flat out immature, according to Big Sean. Now, the other side of the story is Ariana Grande complains that... He treats her like a piece of meat, especially in the lyrics to his new song, where he talks about her billion-dollar pee thang.
Okay.
I got a million-dollar girl with a billion-dollar...
Mm-hmm.
And she
that's
says,
not a compliment?
That's rude. That is rude behavior.
Okay.
Allie, would you feel bad if a gentleman told you you had a billion-dollar hoo-ha?
No.
See? It's a compliment.
Yeah.
It's much like the compliments that the... Native American actors were given on the set of the new Adam Sandler movie, The Ridiculous Six. Approximately a dozen Native American actors and actresses, as well as their Native cultural advisor, walked off the set of Adam Sandler's new film. These actors were primarily from the Navajo Nation, and they were promised, when they signed on to participate in this Western comedy, that the Apache culture would be respected, and the cultural advisor on the set would oversee that and make sure that there were no stereotyping, and there was no rude behavior towards their customs. And that was quickly thrown out the window when scenes with Native women were written into the script with names such as Beaver Breath and No Bra.
Somebody seriously lied to them.
Seriously
right?
lied
Right? Because
them.
I can't yes. imagine that Adam Sandler ever told them they would get respect.
Yes, he did it. Oh, you're going to have respect. And it's going to be dooby-doo. And they just didn't understand him. They didn't know
that
what they
could
were
be,
saying.
Yeah. Some lying going on there.
Here's one hilarious scene from the script. One female character was called by another of the gentlemen in the film, "Hey, Beaver Breath." And that's when the Native American woman in the script says, "How did you know my name?" Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bop. Boom.
Ha-ha.
See, that's where the comedy is.
Where?
Right there.
Where was the comedy?
The producers said, if you guys are so sensitive, maybe you should just leave, according to one of the
good
Navajo actresses.
What a terrible set.
Yeah, it really sounds awful. So they walked, and Netflix, this movie's going to be on Netflix, by the way. They said, it's supposed to be ridiculous. It's in the title. It's called The Ridiculous Six.
Did they say it's in the title?
They said it's in the title. Mm. It's right there in the title. It's ridiculous. Why don't they call it the racially insensitive six? That might be a little more appropriate.
Sure.
And then no one would go on that set not seeing that coming, right? The racist six. If you're in a movie called The Racist Six,
then you
see that coming.
You expect that.
You get all beaver breath. You say, well, sure, it's called The Racist Six. I can see that. There's a woman in the movie, apparently, who is squatting down, urinating while smoking peace pipe. She
right.
says, this is like from 1940.
Yeah.
This stuff.
I just think Indians have got to
stop
trusting white people, I think, is where we're at this point.
They really
haven't
learned that lesson, have they?
Nope.
There's been a few incidences where they perhaps should have not done that.
Is Adam Sandler all white people, though?
I don't think so.
Well, I think it would behoove them just to err on the side of caution when dealing with Whitey.
Double check.
I think so, too.
Double check Whitey.
What? Double check Whitey. That's our motto.
Because things would be a lot different for the Indians if they still had New York.
Ain't it the truth? That one guy wouldn't be crying by the roadside with that trash. I know
that's
that
right.
Much.
That's just sad, man.
It's a good call from 1973,
five, I want to say. He was sad, Kevin, because the white man trashed his country with litter.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Eyes Cody, by the way, name of that actor.
Oh, I don't know. I call him Pee Hole Cody.
Quick email before we get to the weekend, huh? If you don't mind. This is from Lauren Kearney. She listens to us down in San Diego. I'm assuming she's a podcast listener, maybe a streamer. Ralph, a friend and I decided we need some new lingerie. So we grabbed a pile of my Victoria's Secret catalogs and laid on the bed. Yeah, I like this with Lauren and her friend. We flipped through the first one. She asked, isn't the singer of Kings of Leon married to one of these models? I said, yeah, this one, Lily. And Adam Levine's wife, Levine's wife, should be in here too. We turned the page and looking at a group of models, and I said, oh, she's in the thong. Her name is Beatty.
You were trying to rhyme Beatty?
Beatty. Her name's Beatty. And that doesn't rhyme with Bugatti? You don't think, Kevin? Play that goddamn music!
That one, the thong's her name's Beatty. She's in the thong, her name's Beatty. She's in the thong, her name's Beatty.
Well, it's sad to see it go out on a low note.
That, you don't think that sad. You don't think
it's,
that rhymes?
It's too much. It's sad to see that it went out like that, though. I'm saying.
That's sad. It's the last one.
Were you trying to rhyme? Were you trying to rhyme Bahati with Bugatti? Yeah. That never got close.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, Ralph.
Doesn't even rhyme.
Hey, celebrity birthdays. Singer Barbara Streisand is 73 years old today. Jamin Hunsu is 51. Austin Nichols is 35. Kelly Clarkson's 33. And host of Cedric's Barber Battle.
It's not a thing, no matter how much you say it is.
On the CW tonight. Don't miss it. Cedric the Entertainer is 51 years old.
Get sliced, diced, chop, chop, phase, braids, flat tops, baldies, dreads, designs on your head. It's all going down on Barber Battle with Sed.
It's all going down with Barber Battle with Sed, Rick.
I think there are several shows on the air that are competitive hairstyling.
Three! I found out later after our last conversation, there are three Barber Battle shows on television.
Come on.
There's a cutoff. There's a Barber Battle. There's a Snip and Go. There's,
is that one?
My hair.
I don't know, but there's three of them. Yeah. I know there's three different barbering battle shows currently on television.
It's the golden age, Ralph.
We live in magical times. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, I want to mention again, we're going to be at Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Casino tonight at 9 o'clock.
Guys
poker.
Only, please. No ladies are welcome. Guys we Night actually, Out. Guys only, please.
It's poorly named because we actually want more girls than
guys.
That's
what I meant to say. But, women are welcome. Right. Please come, ladies. Bring your friends.
It's me, the King of Mexico, Beer Mug, DJ Omar Khan. We'll be there at 9 o'clock. And then Monday at 7:15 a.m., we got all the details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2015.
Oh, I love
don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I suck, donkey.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So I guess this is a thing now?
Roll another one.
Leave the comedy to the professionals.
Just like the other one.
Not ever. No way.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Penis.
And I need another hit.
What's your secret in staying young?
My secret in staying young? Well, I got three words. Boom tang.
The big Carcella.
Just like the other one.
This is not how I wanted to wake up.
This one seems to be about to end.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
I don't have
Statue Bunny, take the fast lane.
I don't want to guard that joint.
Carol, hold my calls.
Just passing around.
I
don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just passing on down.
Kevin, I've had it.
I'm up a rope in this business. So I'll be honest with you, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of listening to this. I'm sick of the second guessing. You guys can do whatever the you want, but I'll tell you this, I don't like it one bit. Bend over backwards, be honest and direct with you guys, and you stick it right up my and the team. I'm sick of it. What do you got? You don't have anything, just get out, please.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Live long and off.